The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Thank you. Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on the 20th, the last day before the Mayan calendar ends, and see what happens. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600 in studio with me. Today is the third Thursday, and I have the privilege of having attorney Mark Manji with me on today.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry
Happy New
Christmas
Year.
To you. My Christmas is going to get merrier as I'm looking on my pad over here at these pictures of these strawberries.
Just say no, Mark.
I can't say no.
I gave you chocolate. No, just say no.
Yeah, but this, you know, this is chocolate. These are strawberries.
And you want to be nutritious.
That's right. I have to have a little bit of nutrition with my, you
with
know,
your chocolate.
With my chocolate. That's right. You need a little bit of fruit. That helps. So I can eat these for a snack, and I can have the strawberries for lunch.
But they won't be here. And by the time they get here, they'll be here tomorrow. And you won't have the same feelings about them as you have today.
Oh, they got cake pops. They got citrus. I could get citrus, dipped citrus.
I didn't like the cake pop.
Really?
No. Someone sent them to the house, and I didn't like cake pops. But I did like the strawberries were good.
All right. I'm going to give those a try, I think. When I'm done with you, I'm going to go order some.
You wouldn't dare.
Yeah, I will.
Oh, see what I said.
No. You know what's really good about it? My wife doesn't like chocolate-dipped strawberries.
So you don't have to share?
I don't have to share.
I'm going to tell your son. And he doesn't even gain weight.
He doesn't eat chocolate either.
Huh?
He's not a big chocolate eater. He's not a sweet. I'm the
what
one.
What kind of assignment does he have?
Well, that's why he looks the way he looks, and I look the way I look, because, you know, I eat all the stuff he doesn't eat. Yeah, he doesn't. No cakes, pies, desserts.
Yeah, my mom's like that, and she looks like he does.
Yeah.
And I look like I do.
So that's the key. I think we have more fun.
Oh, we're happier people.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And warmer.
Absolutely.
When you go outside,
that's right.
The big winds
insulation.
Come in. That's right.
Insulation. Takes a minute. But we're happier people. We're always jolly. Are you ready for Christmas?
More or less. I got my shopping done. And my wife's going to be doing some cooking this weekend. But that's about it. We're good. My family is relatively small, so we don't do a whole lot. But
don't have to.
Yeah.
Don't have to.
But it's good. I just shop till I drop. I've got stories I'll tell after.
So you don't wait until the last minute. You're not one of those guys that wait till the last minute.
For me, I got my shopping done by the end of last week, and for me, that's late. I generally do my shopping early.
That's pretty good, Mark.
Before Thanksgiving and the week of Thanksgiving, I go shopping. My wife and I, we enjoy ourselves for Christmas. Our anniversary, my wife's birthday, and Christmas are all within 4 weeks of each other. And so we go shopping twice. And it's really a nice day. Rather than buy something for her that she doesn't want, we make a day of it. We'll go up and we'll shop. We'll have lunch, have a nice day together. And it's always a lot of fun.
And you have good taste. Now, I have to say this. A lot of men don't have good taste.
I know that.
You actually help other people. Because I have rumors.
Yeah.
Tell me, you help other people in the stores. When you go and your wife goes shopping, you help all kinds of people with their shopping.
She goes into the dress room to change, watch out, because I'm going to dress who's ever there.
And not only that.
They look good when I'm
done
with them.
That's what I heard. That's what I hear. I hear this. Now, you've been married how many years?
40.
In your 40 years, have you ever bought a gift, especially earlier in your marriage, now you look back and say, no, I shouldn't have bought that kind of gift.
Yes.
What did you buy?
A spaghetti pot. I learned my lesson. Never buy your wife a spaghetti pot for Christmas. Not a good thing.
I told someone yesterday.
And it was a really nice pot. It had like a, you know, you put the thing in and you lift it up and all the water comes down and the pasta
mm-hmm.
stays in it. And I thought it was a good thing. That and a sweeper. Not a good thing.
I told, it's funny, because the reason why I asked that is because I had sticks in here.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Christmas gifts. And he says, I'm thinking about buying my wife something. And I said, no, that's not a good gift. You don't buy pots and pans. I don't care how much they love to cook, unless they say, this is what I want.
Yeah.
Now, they said, I want a, for years, I wanted a KitchenAid mixer.
That's a good gift if you like to cook.
This is what I want. Yeah. I want a KitchenAid mixer. This is the color. This is the size. This is the one that I want. Now, if I ask for it, that's different. But just because you saw me look in the book and say, oh, I like this, that's not a cue for you to go buy anything that has to do with domestic stuff. So, no, I love to iron. That I know Rowena has a wonderful iron, but you don't buy it for me for Christmas. You don't buy pots and pans for Christmas. You don't buy irons and sweepers.
No, not for Christmas. Get them for your anniversary.
No. You just give them a gift card and say, here, this is for you to go buy something that you want, and then buy a gift.
Well, they won't let me into the dress shops anymore when I go shopping with my wife because I scare the customers away. You know, I just shake my head. I said, then put something on, and I said, Lord, I can't let this woman go out of there looking like that. And I say, all right, okay, let's take a look at what we can do to help you. And we went up to the one shop up, and we do some shopping up in Chagrin Falls from time to time, and this one shop my wife likes to go up to up there, and they gave us special hangers because I'm such a good customer because I help them sell stuff when I go in there. She says, I don't give these hangers to everybody, but I'm giving them to you.
That's pretty good, Mark.
And jewelry, and the one lady, oh, my God, this one lady, she was the most pitiful lady I ever saw in my life. She looked so sad. She came in, we were at one of the chain clothing stores, and my wife was trying some stuff on, and the woman put on a faux suede jacket that was olive green. Now, her skin was kind of olive-complected, no makeup, stringy blonde hair, and all I saw was this massive olive green, and I told her, I said, honey, I said, life's too short to wear olive green. Go get yourself this nice peach one over here. And she put it on, and she wanted it. And she says, oh, this is so nice. And by now the clerk's, you know, looking at me saying, what are you doing? I said, come on over here. You got to get this peach one. It looks much better on you. It's alive. It's bright. You look great. Go get your hair fixed up. But my husband wants olive green. I said, tell him to jump off the lake. Go over there. The fiscal cliff, jump off the cliff. Go get the peach jacket over there. And she bought the peach jacket. My wife says she probably brought it back the next day and got the olive green.
It all depends, because sometimes men don't, you think they want olive green until you see somebody in it.
Yeah.
And I've seen some people in some suits and some things, and I'm like, you shouldn't wear that.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
No, I got some olive green stuff, but there's always a color with it. I always put it with a color, so you don't look bland.
Mark, yeah. Have you ever watched The Price is Right?
Yes, but not for a long time.
But have you ever watched
years,
The Price is
Right?
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that there were no male models for The Price is Right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know they have them now?
Oh, really? Well, didn't they fire?
Today was the first male model.
Yeah, didn't they fire? Did somebody get into trouble because he was a Bob Barker? Was he?
Yeah, Bob Barker. He
got
liked
into
the girl.
Trouble for something.
He liked the girl.
I know he liked the girls.
You know, but you got the times were different.
Yeah.
I mean, the times, politically correct and older people are not in the same sentence.
No.
They don't know politically correct. I mean, women or men, they think it, they say it. And it is what it is. So, you know, I can see some of the older, because they're not always politically correct. I'm around some people, and it's like, you can't say that anymore.
I sat at a meeting last night, and there's an advisory committee, and then there's a female manager, and all the guys are male, and the advisory committee is all male, and the manager's female. And the one guy kept calling her honey. He says, honey, you can't do that. Honey, you can't. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. No, we don't call this lady honey. She's not honey. She's the boss. She manages multi-$1 million, and you're calling her honey.
She's honey.
Yeah,
sweetie. But you're a little bit older than me. Why does it? You know, because I looked at, I was talking to some guys this weekend, and men have to apologize before they give it a compliment now.
I know that. That's terrible, isn't it?
I mean, they really have to. They can't say you look nice. They can't say I like your shoes. They can't say you smell nice. They have to say, I'm sorry, but do you mind if I tell you? I mean, and the number is 347-945-5229. We're going to talk about money today, I promise you. But I've got to keep it light for a little while. Because Tomorrow they said the Mayan calendar is going to end, and I don't know what that means.
I don't want to talking about. Listen, if the world's going to end tomorrow, I don't want to spend the, talking about money. I want to talk about pretty women.
Well, not allowed to talk about pretty women.
All right.
Because then you're not politically correct. Because you have to apologize. Excuse me. Can I? You know what? If I tell you your coat is really nice, I mean, what have we done?
People, they just get. Everybody's so touchy. Everybody just needs to lighten up and. You know, I wasn't going to tell you, when I was back in college, and we were in the cafeteria in the dormitory, at the dormitory, it was a two-story cafeteria, and there you picked up your food on the first floor, and you walked up the steps to the second to eat. And we would sit there eating our dinner, and we would have, like, each of us would have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and as the girls would walk up the steps, we'd hold up the number as to what they were. I don't think we could get away with that today. I think we'd be in big trouble. There were a couple of ones, and there were a couple of real dogs, I'll tell you. It's not good.
But is it, because I think we've become too politically correct. I think that's what's wrong with us. We don't set boundaries, because I look at Connecticut and this shooting that happened last Friday. You know, there were, we used to have parameters, and even when you were drunk, you had limits.
Yeah. There are
and
no limits.
In your drunkenness, you knew. You don't cross limits. When the police pull you over, at least you try to act sober.
There are no limits today. Anything goes. And you know, that's a problem. And, you know, you just, people need to have fun. They need to lighten up. We don't seem to have that problem in this area. This area has always been politically incorrect.
That's true.
But particularly if you're in politics, you don't want to sit through these political meetings. And I was with a number of years ago. I sat in on a meeting with the group at the university that takes care of
the athletics?
No, the equal opportunity
diversity council.
The diversity council. And the person who was there, this was years ago, the person who was there was talking about how she walked into one of the ethnic churches in town.
Okay.
And told them that they need to be more ethnically tolerant. You know, in Youngstown, it's not only a matter of race; it's a matter of ethnicity. There's a lot.
I mean, you've got a lot. You've got Syrian, you've got Serbian, you've got
centered around the churches.
Yeah,
you know, there's ethnic churches.
Hungarian, you've got it all.
And the woman said, I told them you have to do this, and you've got to stop calling this person that, and you've got to stop calling that person this. And they listened to me, and they said I was right, and they walked out, and I walked out the door feeling good. I looked at her, and I said, honey, I said, they may have been smiling at you when you were talking to them, but when you walked out the door, they were laughing their rears off. I said, because this is how you refer to people, and I think I used every ethnic slur going down the line. You know, when you're in politics, you talk about this vote, that vote, the other vote, the other vote. That's just how we do. We never give it a thought. That's how we refer to myself. She said to me, how could you use such language in front of me? And I said to her, well, that's what you do. She said, well, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a lawyer. She said, well, I would never want you as a lawyer. And I said, honey, I wouldn't want you as a client. They never asked me back.
I wonder why, Mom.
I don't know. No, I should have told her to wear a piece of jacket.
Oh, man. Here's the number 347-945-5229. Mayan calendar. What do you think? Are you passing all your money out today?
No, I'm not passing my money. I think I'm going to go get a steak tonight. You know, I got to eat something good if tomorrow's the end of time.
So you can be... I mean, what do people really think this is going to happen? Are people really believing this?
Apparently there are, from what I read on TV, read on...
online today?
Online today, that, you know, there's people calling NASA. You know, there's people that they think the comet's coming and whatnot. You know, I just think the Mayans ran out of rocks to carve on.
They say the Mayans don't even believe it.
No, they don't believe it. They're looking. They're writing on the. Can you imagine? They had to chisel this stuff. It's not like they're writing this stuff with you know, pen, you know, your Sharpie. They're chiseling. You know, the buyer probably said, you know, fool me on this stuff. I've chiseled enough. End of world. And he goes off and...
It just, you know, so some believe Friday is doomsday for the Mayan calendar. And it's like, my belief tells me, you know, they're just barking up a tree. But, I mean, it gives us something to talk about for talk radio, you know. It just does.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's a lot of fun. The problem is you know, some people start to buy into this stuff. You know, look at that group of people that thought that the Martians were coming to get them and they had to go up and meet the spaceship, and so they killed themselves.
Now, that's crazy. I think those were the people out in San Diego, California, weren't they?
No, you know, the wackadoodles walk among us.
What do you call them, wackadoodles? Now, Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
I asked you earlier, because I've been gone. I've been studying. I've been gone. I don't know how well I've done, but I've been gone.
The Curiosity
Shop. Oh, no. And I found out that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had a concussion.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm trying to figure out how she went from she can't testify because she has a concussion.
That's one of two things. She's either dodging testifying on Benghazi, or Bill finally had enough and hit her on the head with a pan.
Ooh.
Yeah, how do they think we're that stupid to believe for a minute that, you know, she can't, and it's getting worse, and she's actually now it's turned into a couple of weeks. This is going to be a couple of weeks now before she's going to be able to function fully. Come on, give me a break.
Because a lot of us have had concussions. You know,
yeah.
We've fallen down and I found that, you know, they tell you with a concussion, they don't even want you to go to sleep.
Well, you know, they unless you're a football player, you got a concussion, they still send you out to finish the game.
Well, that's something different. You know, we'll hit you in the head again, and it'll go back. But now, Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
With a concussion, do you have memory problems, or are you just ill, or can you not work?
Well,
she would have to have a very, very severe concussion.
Yeah.
And she's not hospitalized.
No. If you got a concussion, if it's a severe concussion, you're going to get hospitalized.
I mean, you're going to be ill.
You have headaches. You're worried about bleeding. Worried about ruptured vessels in the brain and that sort of thing. You know, you need to take it easy. But mostly, I think she's hiding from Congress. And she had. Where does she live? Massapequa?
She's up in New York.
In New York, yeah.
She's up in New York. Up in Upper New York. The place where she never lived until she wanted to become a senator, and then she went and won. That worked for me.
Maybe she decided she wanted to bake cookies.
No, she's going to take off. I told you, she's going to take off, and she's going to get some Botox. She's going to have an extreme makeover and come back and run for president.
Maybe she's doing that. Maybe they sent her to the farm.
No, can't go to the farm because she's got a concussion now. And my question is, this was a convenient concussion right before she goes to actually testify, and a lot of people believe that she's faking this because she doesn't want to testify.
I believe that.
Because she doesn't want to be honest. She doesn't want to tell. She doesn't want to lie under oath.
Yeah.
Under oath would kill her presidency.
She's got a problem. She testifies, she can't lie under oath, and she can't take the fifth. Those are your two choices.
Right.
And if you say, I don't know, that's a lie.
And you look incompetent also.
Yeah. And, you know, I hate to sound this way, but geez, oh man, why don't these people ever go away? You know, look at that. They're hauling out John Kerry. They want to haul out Hillary Clinton. How many of these old liberal war horses do we have to deal with? Isn't it time they moved on?
You can't. You can't move on because you have to shoot for what's sure. It's like a good old pair of house shoes. Everybody has their favorite chair.
Yeah.
Getting rid of the favorite chair.
Yeah.
Now, the chair moves around the house.
Yeah.
But throwing it out can cause war.
John Kerry?
War.
Kerry. He's an idiot.
Not the point.
He's going to be the Secretary of State, and he's an idiot.
Have you met the Vice President?
Oh, he's going to be in charge of this gun investigation. That's going to be a hoot. Couldn't find his way out of a paper box.
Have you met the Vice President?
I've never met him.
Same thing. Have you heard him speak?
Oh, he's an idiot.
Okay, so you have the Vice President and you have John Kerry. John Kerry was almost president.
Yeah.
So he's very, very versed in foreign policy, such as the Vice President. And Hillary Clinton is very, very versed in foreign policy, such as the Secretary of State, who can't come to testify about Benghazi. It all works together, but they're a sure shot when it comes to, one, getting confirmed, and two, going through election. People like them.
Well, Kerry's going to be a disaster, but I suppose it's better than Susan Rice, You know, Carrie lied a long time ago, and she just lied last week. So
I have to say this. I've got to take up for Susan Rice.
Uh-oh.
And let me tell you why.
Okay.
If you tell me this is how this is, because you, I mean, I am the ambassador. I am not a part of the State Department.
Yeah.
And I am the representative to the United Nations.
Yes.
You give me an overview of what's going on, and you know that I only can regurgitate that which you have given me from the State Department.
Okay, they had to call her in. Now, I'm going to tell you what they did. They called her in, and they said, here's what happened. Now, she's not a stupid person. Susan Rice is a very smart woman.
Yes.
And she's not, and they, you know, she needs to say to them, because I don't think she believed it, I'm not going to go lie for you. Find somebody else to be the patsy. Find somebody else to go out there and do that. Why the UN ambassador doesn't do this sort of thing. That is a real stretch to get the UN ambassador to come in and talk about that, because there's no connection. That's not what she does.
That's correct. And so the question, she should have asked, why are you sending me? But
now they told her why they're sending her. They said, here's what you're going to say.
And she went. But she went on the order of the State Department and on the President. And now,
what kind of character is it when she doesn't say, I don't believe you, I'm not going to do that?
Now that's a lot. You know, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot of character.
Why?
Because that's just not the way politics works.
What are they going to do, fire?
This is what happens. You know, what I would love to say that, and I would hope in the same position I would have the kahunas, but in politics, You find very, very few politicians who even walk outside of lockstep, even when they don't stand for the step that they're locked in.
Yeah. Listen, when Richard Nixon was president, there were principled people who said they've had enough.
But that was 40 years ago, and now they're all dead.
And there's no principled people today?
Very, very few. Because principled people lose, and nobody wants to lose. Because the day that you step outside and say, I can't, is the day that you end your career.
Well.
And if you're in people don't like people who stretch the boundaries,
yeah.
Who call things as they are, and who always want to do the right thing. You know, if a broke clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
If you say the clock is right, you're going to be mad at me because I said the clock is right, because I'm supposed to say the clock is wrong because the clock is broke. But the clock is right at that present time.
Yeah.
And our problem is, in politics today, You really get ostracized for stepping outside the box and telling the truth.
We need people to do that, though. We need to know the truth. But they kick you out.
They kick you out. You lose. The day that you begin to step outside the box is the day that you actually lose your political job. Now they don't fire you.
I think.
But you're not going anywhere.
I think that if some principled people stand up for the truth. And I'm going to talk about that in both parties, not just the Democratic Party. I think it'll be refreshing, and I think in the long run those people will win out in whatever their endeavors are. You know, you got to have at least some degree of confidence in what they're doing. Right now I watch television and I watch these people in Washington running the show. I don't believe a word they say, not from any of them. Not from any of them. They ought to be ashamed.
I'm looking at, and I'm going to take a break, but I'm looking at this Connecticut issue.
Yeah.
And I have a problem with what happened to those children in that school. I think it's a heinous crime. I think, you know, we need to step, right now we're making emotional decisions based upon an emotional issue, and we need to step back from what we're doing because they're getting ready to start jamming some laws down your throat that may come back and bite you in the butt.
Yep.
And
never let a crisis go to waste.
That's correct. And we're playing politics on the emotions of the American people.
And 20 dead children.
And no one's paying attention to the politics.
No.
They're only paying attention to the children.
Yeah.
And no one wants to come out because everybody's scared, because nobody wants to be classified as a monster because they told the truth on the politics that are being played on the backs of these 20 dead kids.
There's a few voices, but that's not from our leaders.
Ooh.
You know, there's a few voices that are telling the truth. Let's start with the fact that any of the legislation that they want to take care of now would not have stopped this from happening. Let's start with that. And
that's true.
And nobody wants to hear that. This guy would have succeeded no matter what. He was a whack job. He was pissed. He went to buy a gun. They wouldn't let him. That worked. So he went and stole somebody else's. That's what the truth is. And there's 300 million of them.
And they're not going to be able to collect all the guns that are in the streets.
No.
Because I was telling some people earlier this week, bad people are always going to have theirs.
Yeah. That's right.
Good people will not be able to get there.
That's right.
So if that be the case, what are we really doing? And everywhere that there has been very, very strong gun laws, it has not stopped crime,
yeah,
nor slowed it.
The one thing I agree with is the gun show loophole.
I do,
people,
too.
You know, I mean, that's something everybody can agree upon.
I agree with that.
That's the craziest thing I ever heard. You know, that's like, well, you can't get drugs over here, but you get them over there, we won't check. You know,
I agree, and I agree.
That's not.
Because there's a lot of gun shows going on, and there's transfer of weapons right there.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. But, you know, I have a problem with people being able to transfer guns out of the trunk of their cars also.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make a law about the transfer of gun and registration, you ought to make it to where it's complete. Because if Grandpa dies and he's got this arsenal, then before you transfer the property of this gun, it needs to be re-registered.
Yeah.
And somebody has to be responsible for that.
It's going to be interesting to see. They're going to trace that assault weapon back. I'm really curious to find out where it came from.
They say his mom had it.
Pardon me?
They say his mom.
No. His mom had to get it from somewhere.
Okay.
And what the police said they're going to do, they're going to trace it all the way back to the point of manufacture. That's going to be an interesting trace. To see, you know, where the chain of ownership of that particular weapon. You know, you had a wacky son and a wackier mother. What do you do with the whack jobs? They're all around us.
But it's not by giving them
things
more guns that we're going to resolve
country, and that's the big issue. Guns is a problem. Guns are a problem. But mental health is a bigger problem.
We don't want to pay for mental health.
We better start looking at it.
Remember we used to have a hospital.
Yeah.
And we don't have those anymore. They shut that down. We don't want to pay for those.
Oh, they got rights. They look after the rights of those folks. Rights of the home, rights of the people to go live on the street.
I'm changing the subject all over again. But did you see where the man who was 400 pounds?
No.
They were supposed to go to death row. He lost his case but got clemency.
Oh.
Because he was overweight. And they were afraid that he would be tortured while being lethally injected with a weapon because they couldn't find the vein.
So if we quit giving him food so he loses weight so they can execute him, can we do that?
No, we can't do that because he has rights to eat whatever he uses. And how do you get to 400 pounds inside of a prison system?
You can't do it with Twinkies anymore. They don't make them.
So how do you get to 400 pounds inside of a prison system? How do you get obese like that when everything is supposed to be rigorous in what you get? How does that happen?
I don't know.
Okay. Go ahead, Stanley. How are you?
I'm good, Tracy. I'm a little bit mad of yesterday, but I'm still good.
We'll keep breathe. It'll be okay.
Yes.
It's a new day.
I want to ask the guest that you have. We have a gun problem, like I said. We have 12,000 murder every year that happen in America because of guns. Now, if after 20 kids got killed because I don't care, yes, it was his responsibility. He took a gun. He shot the person. But if that person didn't have any guns, he would have never killed anybody, first of all. Well, he would have not killed those 20 kids just like that. So we have a gun problem. And I'm sick of tired. I think it's about time that President Obama does whatever he needs to do. And I'm sorry to say, gun owners, things are going to change. You're not going to have the same right as before. You don't deserve to have a semi-automatic. I don't see no reason for you to get a semi-automatic. There's no reason for you to get that. None. And it's not and I'm sick of tired of also hearing from gun owner, we should have more guns. Everybody should have a gun. No. I'm sorry. I don't want everybody to have a gun because somebody who has road rage, somebody who's mental, somebody who could snap for anything and just kill you.
But when they say everybody, Stanley, they're not talking about every whack job in America.
Well,
when we
how
say,
do you know you're not a whack job?
Hold on. This is the issue. This is the issue. This is the issue. Good people, good honest citizens are the ones who will not have guns.
But Tracy, even good people could snap. That's what you don't understand.
No, good people don't snap.
Anybody can snap.
No, good people don't snap.
Yes, good people snap. Good people snap. How many times you said, oh, I would have never thought that person would have done it, would have beaten that girlfriend. Oh, I never thought that that person, he was a good person. Come on.
I don't have that problem.
Well, maybe you don't, but there's a lot of people who you think are good are not good.
About that. What did you say, Mark?
Well, there's the problem you've got is the Constitution, which says you can have a gun. And I don't think you're going to see a constitutional amendment come down the pike. And the Supreme Court has been relatively liberal in their approach. And I don't mean liberal in a political sense. I mean the expansive and their view of gun ownership to a certain degree. You know, the assault weapon issue is, I think, one that we're going to have a big debate over. And I don't want to say I disagree with what you're saying about assault weapons. I personally can't see why anyone would need one of those.
Thank you.
Because the gun people, you know, they start talking about hunting and whatnot. But one of the purposes of the right to bear arms is to protect yourself against intrusive government. And if you start going down that pike and look at the history of gun rights in the United States, it has to do with, you know, forming a militia,
sure,
being able to defend yourself. And the defense, according to the founding fathers, was defense against the government.
See, that's my concern is not the bad people, yes, but my concern is the government as a whole. I have issues with that.
So what? You think that the government's going to do something drastic to the point? This is America. First
that's
of all,
what I'm saying.
Wait. But Tracy, there's many countries who doesn't have guns and have the same kind of liberty that you have. Japan, Germany. I could go through the list. And they don't have that problem at all.
Japan
has two murders. Japan, if you go to the stats
Listen.
Of how many murders they had two.
The difference between Japan and America is Japan is not trying to, well, let me say it this way. My belief is America has cheated the American people out of free thinking. And because they have turned these people into non-thinkers and have gone with any type of lifestyle that you choose to live, do anything that you want to do, and we have corrupted our own system. That's why we have what we have. See, when you have people who are impoverished and you give them an entitlement right, they will go fight for what they want, and they'll take it if they can't get it. See, when you talk about abortion with me, and you talk about, you know, we and people and people being raped and incest, I promise you, if you start castrating people, you won't have as many rapes and incest issues as you have today. See, if you're going to send somebody to prison, I have a problem with people going to prison and having too many rights. I don't understand that. I don't understand how you go to prison for 12 years and come out addicted to drugs. I can't comprehend that. I don't understand how you can be sitting inside of a prison, like I said, and the man is 400 pounds. How do you get 400 pounds on government subsidized food inside of a prison system? Why does that mean you're not working in there? Does that mean that you're not exercising? And does that mean that they're giving you that much food where you can gain weight like that? See, that's America's fault.
Yeah, but it's American's fault also to have the thing of thinking so much the government is evil. It's American's fault to thinking that guns is the way to resolve any issue. It's American's fault for many things, the mentality. This mentality is crazy. It's American's fault to think that we're arrogant and we're the best country in the world. We're not.
We're not.
Many people around the world, I know people in France, I know people in Canada. You know how many people call me?
Stanley, why in the world, if we're not the best, people drink oceans to come here? Hold on,
well,
local call, you're on the air.
Wait, which one drinks ocean to come here? Many people come here because they go to other countries that they don't have the choice and everything. But go to the top 20 country, we're not the best. We're not the best in education. We're not the best in the quality of life. We're not the best in the quality of murder. There's many things we're not the best. We're not
Steve.
The best in the,
hold on.
The healthcare system. We're not
hold
the
on,
best.
Steve. Stanley, hold on. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Ms. Tracy, at times I kind of get upset with some people who call themselves Christians and
huh?
want to promote, you know, the so-called having a right to have guns and all this
stuff. Okay.
So I get, and I just feel that many of them do not adhere to what Jesus tried to say to Peter when he cut a man's ear off. He said, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword.
Okay.
And
so,
then,
so.
And even in Isaiah, it tells us that Christians are supposed to, you know, use weapons into a sort of peaceful type of way, you know, beat your sword in the plowshare.
Okay.
In other words, Christians are supposed to practice peace because that's what Jesus was about. He was about bringing about peace and love and unity and brotherhood.
Okay.
I understand we do.
But there's a there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. And murder is one thing and defense is another. Now, I have faith in God, and I'm glad you brought this up. How I got from here, from Susan Rice to here, I'll never know. But I have this issue. We have alarms on our churches, on our homes, and on our cars. We save money. We do all this preventative. We plan for the future. We do all this crazy stuff. But when it comes to gun ownership, we say that we're supposed to have faith and we're supposed to love. If you come inside my home to harm me, I am going to do whatever it takes to defend myself.
Well, I think that's your right, Ms.
And that's what I'm saying. It is the right of the person to be able to have the opportunity to bear arms, especially if you're trying to save yourself from a tyrant government. Go ahead, Mark.
If you look at, you know, we have been fortunate in the United States to at least in our homeland, you know, here within our country, not to have the turmoil that you've seen in other countries. If you look, for example, at Nazi Germany, when they were breaking into homes and hauling people off to the gas chambers, it sounds like, oh, that would never happen here in the United States. Nobody would ever thought it would happen in Germany. Germany, at the time the Nazis came to power, were considered to be some of the most socially advanced, educated, scientific countries on Earth. They were the epitome of civilization. And yet, look what happened. And if you look through history, you're going to see tyrants come in over and over and over and over again. One of the things that we have here in the United States is the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment, and that allows us to maintain local militias and state militias if we want them, and we don't have them per se anymore. There's calls to get them up again. But it certainly is one of the bedrocks that protects our freedoms in this country. You talk with the gun rights people, they say Second Amendment is the protector of the rest.
I disagree.
It protects the rest of the amendments. It's not that we want people to go marching around the streets with guns. That's not the point. And again, my personal point of view is I think there ought to be limits. But I certainly understand why we have it, and I'm not willing to say, well, it's not the Christian thing to do. If it wasn't the Christian thing to do, we'd have a bunch of dictators all over the world right now killing people. Because at some point in time, you have to defend yourself.
I disagree with this.
Hold on, Stanley. Wait a minute. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Tracy, before I make my comment here, I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas there. You guys have been with me all year. I appreciate it. And Merry Christmas to you. Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends and Happy Kwanzaa to the people that don't have the faith in those religions. Listen, I want to actually throw something else on the table, but I want to answer something that Steve said, and I can understand the living by the sword and dying by the sword. The difference is that phrase means basically you're using the sword to murder. Owning a gun for self-defense and protecting yourself is not living by the sword. Using a gun to go out and murder is. So I think there's a big difference there, and I just think that's important to say. I want to bring something else up really quick, if I may, Tracy.
Sure.
All right, this is not the main problem, but I think this adds to the problem of why we're having these school shootings and problems with this with the mentally disturbed that I keep hearing is brought up. I have a neighbor, or had a neighbor, when I moved in here. They had a mentally disturbed son. It was tragic. He was a baby. He was beaten as a baby, and that was the reason for his problems. but he did have these problems. Here's where I think a lot of the problem lays. The state, and it wasn't the parents taking care of him, it was some other family members, and they were receiving a rather large, hefty check from the government because of his disorders and what he had going on. They were receiving a check. They also had a caretaker that came by the house to watch him, but he also got paid by the state. He didn't get paid by the people responsible for the kid. These people were not in any way qualified to take care of somebody of his problems, and he had a lot of problems. He was slightly schizophrenic. He was bipolar. He had showed his aggression more than 6-7 times a year because police visited the house 5-6 times a year. He even had the State Board of MRDD, which I'm not sure if that's still what it's called, but those are the people that take care of people with mental problems. They came out to the house once or twice a year because of the problems, but he was never removed or there was never anything done about it. Yet these people kept on collecting a government check simply because the kid lived with them. I think this is part of the problem with these people with mental problems being able to go out and do whatever they want. These people actually bought samurai swords for this kid because every time he threw a fit to calm him down, they got him whatever he wanted just to make sure that there was no more attention drawn and he couldn't be taken out of that house. I think this is just another piece to the puzzle that we need to solve.
Hey, sir, could I say something?
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, back when I was younger, they would put people like him, and I knew when I was a young guy, I'd seen like him institutionalized. So it's because states did away with, you know, putting people with mental and even children with retardation into institutions, have group homes for them. That's the reason why. They've gotten away from putting people like that young man in an institution because that's possibly where he belongs at. As a matter of fact, he is a danger not only to himself but to society. And I've even seen people like that be put, family didn't want a mentally retarded child, they put him in an institution. As a matter of fact, I would put him out of retarded when I was a youth, and I've seen severely retarded people. So, although myself, I went there because I had behavior problems as well as learning.
But see, before I go too far, because this is the issue. This is the issue. We have turned mental illness into a money-making business. And not a business where we are looking for restoration. It's like, you know, they call the correction a rehabilitation, which is called our penal system or our prison system. They don't rehabilitate you while you're in the penal system anymore. What they do is they reindoctrinate you so that you go out and live the same life that you're in. It's not about rehabilitation. Once money gets involved and they corrupt the system, then they're no longer concerned about your mental health and or your rehabilitation. All they want you to do is come back so I can make more money on you. And that's the problem that we have with mental health as well as incarceration.
Well, some people who have mental health, if they're under medication, they can function in society.
But Steve, it's not they can function, but again, without having good training, everything has to be trained. Everything has to be trained. Every person has to be trained. You're going to be trained one way or another. But if you don't shape and train a child, and as he comes up, you've got to teach them and train them for independent living, making sure that they take their meds, and giving them limitations. What we're doing is we're jamming pills down their throat but not giving them limits. We're not teaching them that they have to be a good – they cannot just go off on people. You just can't cuss because you want to. And right now we've got kids who are being labeled with mental disorders who are not mentally disabled. We're creating them because it makes money and it's more substantial than a welfare check. And you have it for the rest of your life. Go ahead, South Carolina.
I heard something on this yesterday, actually. You know, back in the between the early part of the century up until the 1970s, we have places that house mentally ill people, you know, and they were called sanitariums, or we used to call it, you know, here in South Carolina, Bull Street. That's where they took all the crazy people. And things were a lot different. Something happened in the 70s with the ACLU and their whole thing that got mentally ill people released into the general public. And there's a direct correlation between that and people that are homeless now and so on and so forth. And you cannot get somebody committed. It takes almost an act of Congress to get somebody committed, you know, try to probate them. It's almost impossible to do that. It really is. So what you've got is you've got people that really need help and really need to be institutionalized walking around on the street, and there's nothing you can do about it. So when they do go off, legitimately go off, you know, we want to point our fingers at the gun owners and whomever else they decide that, you know, whatever means they decide to use to hurt other people, and not hold who's really responsible, you know, that individual and the system that lets them stay out there on the street. That's how it is.
Let me say that in your it's a wide subject when it comes to mentally ill, who's mentally ill, whatever. And I understand. I just threw it out there because I think it's something that needs discussed. But like in the example of the person I was talking about, he snaps, but regularly, and he has snapped in the past where it hasn't come to killing anybody, but it has come to physical violence where police were brought out. Where the state board of MRDD came out, and they were aware of it not once, not twice, but several times. And I think that this happens quite a bit. As a matter of fact, in some of these shootings, I think that the cops were called out with mentally ill people, and those signs weren't caught. I think those signs need to be caught. I think that a lot of this is just it's egged on by the defense of the caretakers, because they're getting money for this kid, like what Tracy was talking about. It's become a money-making institution, and I think it just needs more closely looked at.
And see, what I'm saying is, we need to, and Stanley, I'm going to let you back in. We need more time. Children who have special needs need special parents. And you need people who are going to train them, love them, be there for them. And you can't be a whack job yourself and raise a child that has mental issues.
The other issue you're dealing with on that particular topic is children with special needs have been mainstreamed in our schools, and they're not getting the attention that
they
need and they deserve in an effort to make their parents feel good that their kid is normal, when the kid really isn't normal. The kid needs help.
I agree with that. Go ahead, Stanley.
The thing I'm hearing is, yes, we need to resolve the mental issue, but all the shooting that we have, which is 12,000 per year, is not all mental people. It's not because of mental issue.
The majority of them are undereducated. Remember, when you look in the inner cities and you look at black on black crime is done because of an element of dishonesty and undereducation, where they can't go and attain any other achievement, so they make their money on the street.
Yeah. Some of them are educated, though, Ms. Tracy. There are cases where individuals
are not educated. Some of them
still
are doing whatever they need to do.
Again,
gangbang. Just because they want to be part of a gang. Some people do get the gun for any reason they want. So the gun is a problem, people.
But this is my issue. If you take the guns out of the control of good citizens, and you only have your law enforcement and your military.
Yes.
You have put too much trust into a system that should not be trusted.
But Tracy, the rest of the world is doing that. What you think
as
American?
Have you ever heard? Have you ever heard, just because your best friend jumps off the roof, does that mean you should jump off the roof too?
No, but have you ever heard, let's look at the rest of the world and see if it's working for them, and if it's working for them and they're having less murder than us.
But it's not working for them.
The rest of the world also?
Stanley, the reason why you don't steal in China is that when you steal in certain countries, when you go to prison, Stanley, you can't bring in the other parts of the world. So if you want to bring them in, let's bring in the other parts of the world. You want to bring them in. So let's look at what happens when you go to other parts of the world when you make an infraction. Go to prison in Mexico. Go to prison in another country. And see if you get three hots at a cot. And everything is cool, because it's not. They will castrate you, cut off your limbs, and leave you to die. Nobody wants to go to prison. There is no lawyer. There might not be a judge. You're just going because you go. If that's the case, we wouldn't have the recidivism rate that we have today. Are you following me? People go back to prison like it's a business. People go do dumb stuff to go to prison. Come on now. If it was that bad, would you want to go back? Think about it. Look at the recidivism rate of Americans going into the penal system, and it's like a revolving door, and how much money we spend to send them every time they go.
But most people that go to prison, if you're weak, you're going to be taken advantage of, Mr.
Steve. Steve, that's for you and me. We ain't trying to go. But there is a population that don't care if they go. I saw five boys this past week get sentenced to life in prison. At the age of 20 years old, and I'd have been sitting there bawling like a baby.
But they do.
No,
they're going to be somebody's girlfriend.
I don't think they care. Because we've glamorized.
Little boys.
Hey, Steve, I'm telling you. Look at why do they come out and go back? Come on, now look at this.
They get hardened.
Oh, man, Steve, hold on.
The difference
go ahead.
Between.
Go ahead, Matt.
The difference between going to prison in this country or going to prison in Mexico or China or Russia or whatever other country, there's a difference. In this country, if you are afraid, okay, to go, because I'm the same way, I'd be shaking in my boots. I'm afraid of the people, the other prisoners in there. The difference is, in other countries, you're not afraid of the prisoners. You're afraid of the people that put you in prison, the guards, the government. Because if you in these other countries, you don't have a First Amendment right. So if you went to prison for, say, I don't know, speaking out against the leadership of that country, there's a good chance that the people who put you in prison are going to kill you, not the prisoners inside, the government.
That's what we have to realize. People, I mean, look at what we have here. Go ahead. I think that is somebody else is up there. Go ahead, Private Cotler.
Oh, yeah, this is Eric and Warren. How y'all doing today?
Good. How you doing, Eric?
Good. I just want to make a point that, this whole issue about gun control, I mean, the Second Amendment rights been around for a very, very long time. And the last time I checked, heroin's been banned, cocaine has been banned, methamphetamine's been banned. How many people have died, gone to prison over and over and over again because of these drugs? I mean, my answer is, you can't just say, okay, we're going to take away guns and everything's going to go away, because that's just silly. That's just all I wanted to say.
I agree.
You need to look at the case of these poor children in Newtown and take a look at the debate as to what actually happened there. I'm not necessarily sure that more gun control would have stopped that from happening, because the laws as they want to make them actually worked. This kid went cuckoo. He went to buy a gun. They did a background check. They wouldn't give him one. Then he went and stole one from his mother, and then he went and he killed these people. And therein lies the issue. You have a mentally disturbed person who went and actually stole a gun that he legally couldn't get otherwise, and went and killed people, which actually proves the point. If you're intent on killing somebody, if you can't get it legally, you're going to get it illegally, and you're going to go kill somebody. These people don't think like you and me. They're different. And I'm going to tell you something else. The bigger problem in this country is there's mental illness and there's mental illness. You've got like the schizophrenics, those kinds of diseases. This fellow had Asperger's disease, Asperger's syndrome. These are basically physically based mental diseases. And then you've got the whack jobs who are coming out. You know, America's not an easy place to live in right now. It's a tough, tough place. Everybody's watching. All these rules, you're doing this. If you screw up, you're screwed. You can't talk to people because it's electronic. There's no intercommunication. People don't talk face-to-face anymore. They want to talk. All that stuff goes to the mental well-being of people, and it's decreasing. It's not getting better. It's getting worse, and it's a problem.
Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. The phone lines are open. The number is 347-945-5229. Everyone who's in the chat room, their lines are open. You guys can go ahead and talk. Let me take my break. I'll be right back.
I'm sorry. Does Canada have not the same right as Americans? Canada doesn't have that problem. Doesn't have the same right as Americans? They don't have that problem.
They don't have the Second Amendment written into their Constitution.
They don't need the Second Amendment written into the Constitution. They don't have that problem. They don't have that problem. Trust me,
Stanley,
they don't.
Do you own a gun?
No, I don't. I don't have
any guns.
You're
fired a gun.
No, I want to know nothing about guns. Nothing.
That's the problem. You're speaking of something you have no clue about.
No, I am a... Wait a minute.
Do you realize...
I'm scared in New York of walking away and having somebody shoot me for any reason and being between two gangs and start shooting each other. Don't forget I live in New York.
The gangs will
I'm
still have guns.
I'm scared of hell about
Stanley,
that.
The gangs will still have guns.
Yeah, the gang would still have guns and everything.
The gangs will have guns no matter what. The gangs in London, England have guns.
Six.
They didn't arm the bodies in London, England until they confiscated all the firearms.
How do you resolve 12,000 people getting killed? How do you resolve this? Six. We have 12,000 people getting killed. When are you going to get enough?
How many of them? How much of that is gang on gang?
12,000 people are getting killed, Six.
How much of that is gang on gang? I don't care.
Oh, you don't care? I care. I care.
Because I can't stop it. All
yes,
I can do is
can.
Protect
we
my
can't
family.
We can't stop it. This is not true.
No,
you
can't.
Stop and look at the rest of the world. Yes, you
Stanley,
can.
Stanley,
stop
do you think the Crips and the Bloods
it.
Are going to give up their firearms?
Well,
Stanley, do you think the Crips and the Bloods are going to give up their firearms?
Why do we need a semi-automatic six? Why? Tell me why you need a semi-automatic. Tell me.
Why not? Why do I need a Corvette that goes 200 miles an hour?
There's no reason. No,
there's no reason to have a Corvette that goes 200 miles an hour either, is there?
There's no reason to have a semi-automatic. Tell me
this
why.
Is the United States of America, and we have freedom. And the government has no right to tell us what we need and what
change.
We don't.
I'm sorry to say, President Obama, do whatever you got to do.
You want to see
because
a revolution,
people
Stanley.
People like you are making it worse. Do whatever 8, you got to do.
8,000 people a day are joining the NRA. Do you know that?
America doesn't agree with you, Stick. They want
8,
change.
Yes, they do. 8,000 people a day
no,
are joining
don't.
The NRA.
No, they don't. If you go to
8,000 people
no.
since this
no,
happened, 8,000 a day are joining the NRA.
Change. 52% of America want the gun to change.
Hey, Stanley, let me tell you something. Do you know what a 12-gauge shotgun will do with double-eyed buckshot in it?
I don't care. Okay?
If he could have walked in there with 50 rounds, he could have walked in there with a pump shotgun.
The government's going to do boo-hoo-hoo thing. I don't care. I want this to stop.
It's not going to stop. It will never stop.
I want this to stop because I'm sick and tired of apologizing when all people I know around the world call me and say, what kind of country is this?
I don't care what the rest of the world thinks of me.
Yes, you should. That's your problem.
I don't care.
You think you believe it only in this world. You don't. That's your problem.
But they're never going to like me anyway, Stanley.
You don't care about what happens in the rest of the world. Well, get it over it, Six. We live the rest of the world. The rest of the world
I don't care what they think about me, Stanley, because they're never going to like me anyway.
Hey, Stanley. Stanley.
Stupidness. If you do craziness. If you have 20 kids who are getting killed, well, what do you think the rest of the world are going to applaud
Stanley.
You?
Stanley, let me ask you a question, okay? And I keep things, you know, so let's not yell at each other. I just want to ask you a question. You contradict yourself often, and here's how. First of all, you say that our government and the United States is responsible for many atrocities around the world, and that we're very guilty for a lot of things. Yet, when it comes to gun control, the only people that you want to have guns are the government. Explain
no,
that.
The only person I want to have gun is the policeman, the people
that's the government.
And into the government to have gun. I said the people who know it. Personally, that's what I want. But it will never happen. I agree with that.
Stanley.
That will never happen. Like 6 or 10, it will never happen. So the second best thing is, let's see what the – I don't see no reason for you, for Americans, normal American people to have a semi-automatic.
Stanley, where I live, the average household has a minimum of 5 guns. Every one of my neighbors has at least 5 guns in the house. We're not shooting at each other. There's no gun violence where I live. But yet Chicago, where it's illegal to take a gun outside of the house, they're killing each other in the street.
So we're going to take your example, and that's going to be the example of the rest of the world. It's not working.
Look at Kennesaw, Georgia.
It's not Kennesaw, Georgia. Well, okay, in New York, there's so much shooting and everything. It's not working, Sick. You can't go with your example. Your example is just a small
example. But it's not legal to have a gun in New York, is it, Stanley?
Yes, it's not legal to have it, but that doesn't stop the shooting. That doesn't stop many ways they have to get it.
What was that trying to get in there? Who was that?
This is Alex. I was just saying hello.
Hi, Alex.
I'm over here laughing. I'm cracking up at this, at, you know, Sticks and Stanley. And I don't know your name. Sorry.
My name is Matt.
Matt or Max?
Matt. Matthew.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey. So, yeah, I'm just laughing because it's just the whole argument is just insane to me.
Well, you and I are on the same page on just about everything usually, Alex.
Yeah, I'm pretty much. Yeah, we're on the same page when it comes to the firearms. I could tell you when I first moved my family into the house that we're in, within the first month we were burglarized twice. After being broken into the first time, we got an alarm system. The second time, the alarm tripped and I got a phone call. And I wasn't sure, maybe it was a mistake. So I go back to the house just to check on things. And from the front, everything looked good. So I walk around to the back, and there's my patio door smashed in. And I hear him rustling around, and the guy's still inside my house. So, and I had almost no time to react. And so I pull my pistol. As soon as I pull my pistol out, he's coming out. And he saw my gun, and he immediately dropped everything that he had in his hands. You know, he had both of our computers and all kind. You know, just my wife's jewelry. I think he still stuffed some stuff in his pockets or whatever. Some of my wife's, you know, jewelry, whatever. But for the most part, he dropped everything and started running. Now, if I didn't have that pistol, he might have killed me or severely hurt me. You know, but.
Yep.
We were within a few feet of each other, you know, not even 5 feet away from each other. That's how close we were. But he saw my pistol, and I raised it. I put it right in his face, you know, because I didn't want to shoot him. That's the last thing you want to do is
right.
Shoot somebody. But legally, I could have shot him, you
well,
know.
Like, sounds like you're a responsible gun owner, Alex.
Yeah.
There was just a story in Casper, Wyoming. A guy walked into a nail salon, and mm-hmm. he pulled out a gun and demanded money, and one of the patrons pulled her gun out. He saw the second gun, he ran.
Oh, yeah. That happens, and they never report on that, but that happens all the time. That happens all the time when people attempt to do things, and, you know, rarely does it make the news. But it actually deters a lot of crime that people, these criminals, they go to prey on certain people, and they find out, oh, shoot, they have a gun. But see, most criminals, they expect you to be defenseless, which is why they seek you out in the first place.
with the exception of the Gabby Gifford shooting, every shooting that we've had in the last 6 or 7 years has been in a gun-free zone.
And you know what? I'm going to tell. I was just going to tell a story about that Gabby Gifford thing, and I'll see if Tracy lets me tell the story, because I just had a conversation. I leave my Facebook page open to as many liberals as possible. We go back and forth, but he brought up the Gabby Gifford thing, and I stumped him just like with a story exactly like what Alex said. This guy was there was a story of one of the people who were responsible for stopping any more of that murder of happening, and one of the guys gave his explanation. He was one of the concealed carry guys who was there. Said he came around a corner, saw a guy with a gun, and pointed his gun at him and said, "Drop your weapon, drop it now." And the guy put his gun down, but kept his hand on somebody's head. And he said, "I'm not the shooter. This man on the ground is the shooter." And so through responsible gun ownership, again, nobody else got killed. But there were people armed and took that shooter down.
Right. Yeah.
So the guy tried to use that as an example because, you know, according to the quote from the gentleman with the gun, he said, "Well, if I would have fired, things would have gotten a lot worse." The difference is he didn't fire. He used his training and made sure that nothing else happened.
Yeah, but, there's a story about a mall shooting where a 20-year-old or 22-year-old young man had his girlfriend there. They took cover. The man who was doing the shooting's gun jammed. He lifted his gun. The 22-year-old pulled his gun out, and he said he couldn't get a clear shot. But the other guy saw the second gun, and he killed himself.
Wow.
But these are just a few stories, according to some people.
Well, it happens. It happens hundreds of times every day.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not answering the question that I always ask to those people. And I'm going to go back to conservative because you never want to answer that question. We have 12,000 murder per year. So if your philosophy works, because I believe if you're going to come with a philosophy, whatever philosophy you say, I want to test it. So let's test it around the world. Let's see around the world how they're doing. Because they don't have the gun control.
12,000
murders? Wait. If your philosophy works, it should be around the world. Should be 20,000 murders or whatever murders. They should
have come back up now.
And we should be seeing. There you go, Stanley. That's the proof.
Stanley. Listen, we understand that there are 12,000 murders per year. We understand that what's going on. The question is why, and why is it escalating? Why is it happening in concentrated areas? And why is it now happening in the way of mass murders inside of school buildings and malls and theaters and that kind of
Hold on, Matt.
Violence is one thing. We understand that there's gun violence out there. But the question is, why is it you think that you should be able to do this and it's okay? And it's not the gun that is killing the people. It's people that are killing the people. And when you look at this, why am I not afraid to use a gun?
There you go.
Why
is American, we have that mentality that we need to go get a gun?
Stanley, you're going too far. The question is, I have had a gun in my house for many, many years, and I don't have a gun now, but I've had them. And I've never gone to go pull it. It just sat there. I don't even clean it. Couldn't even shoot it. Wasn't even paying attention to it. And it didn't even I didn't have a thought of it. Why is it now that people are becoming so enamored with guns that it's causing them to go out and actually have a way of shooting people down? People are shooting inside of people's houses and killing innocent children while they sleep in their beds.
I can give you one reason.
Why is that?
Because we park them in front of a television set and we use the same technology that the U.S. military trains soldiers with for hours on end. That's something that was just reported this morning. This kid was an avid one-on-one shooter game player. Played for hours at a time.
Mm-hmm. I'd also like to add this. Of Stanley's number of 12,000 people, we have to look and see where these murders occurred, most of them. And I guarantee you look at cities like Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., the cities and states with the most strict gun laws, and then look ever since the Brady Bill was introduced, and then compare those numbers of murders as compared to before the Brady Bill was introduced, and then you tell me what picture you draw from that.
Why are you going there instead of saying that we have a problem with 12,000? Because if you're
philosophy, yeah, we do have.
Hold on, Stanley. I gotta correct your numbers. There were 12,664 murders in the United States. Of those murders, 8,000 of them were caused by firearms. Now, if you take those 8,000 of those that were of firearms, then the question now is how many of them had to do with drugs? You need to ration all that stuff out. And then how many of I know they're all true. I know a lot of them are drug related, and you need to break. If you're going to use those statistics, you need to break those numbers out so that you can give people a real sense of what's going on here. Yes, we have a lot of gun owners in America. 89 out of 100 people own guns in America.
How many?
89.
But Miss Tracy,
yes,
even
Steve.
Those who are supposed to be law abiding can snap.
Steve, we're not talking about snapping, and we got to stop the snap thing. A lot of folks don't snap. But they are not the majority of people that snap.
Okay, 50% of people.
The majority of people who are killed with guns by gun violence. There are number one is drugs, theft, and then domestic violence.
Tracy, 24 years ago, a guy in Carrollton, Kentucky, a drunk driver, got on the interstate going the wrong direction and ran into a school bus. And he killed something like 40 people, 40 children. I didn't hear anybody wanting to outlaw booze, and nobody wanted to outlaw pickup trucks.
Hey, why was I not surprised, Six, that you were going to come with that example? Why do you go there? That is so foolish. That is the
Stanley. You ask me why I mute you because you don't hear me when I speak to you. That's why I mute you.
Hey Tracy,
26. Hold on. No, hold on. 269. Your mic is on.
What's up, Tracy?
Hey.
Just listening right now.
Hold on then. Alex, your mic is on. 334. Your mic is on.
Hey Tracy.
Hey.
What I called in to really say is, as a conservative, as a constitutionalist, I think that we are already losing this argument on the gun ownership, on just the gun advocacy, and here's why. The Constitution was written, the Second Amendment was written specifically for the purpose so that free persons, so people in a free society can ensure that their country remains free from either a foreign invasion or their own government. And the founding fathers were clear about this. And so if you have these gun laws, it's insane to restrict people to small arms. How can you possibly defend your country with only small arms? That is the purpose of the Second Amendment. The self-defense against, domestic foes, as they worded it, is that comes into play too. But the main purpose was so that we could defend ourselves from our own government. And you cannot do that if everybody only has small arms. That's why I say remove all the bans. I don't care what you have. People should be able to get anything that they can afford and be able to organize however they want, practicing to use those weapons. And I think when we get sucked into these arguments about just all this other stuff, it's just completely besides the point. And it just doesn't even matter because that's not the purpose of the Second Amendment in the first place. And we just need to stop it because, just stop, because it just makes no sense at all to entertain these arguments about is it safer or the crime rate and all this stuff. It has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. And if we actually taught the Constitution, then people would actually probably be more responsible, and more people would get.
But Alex, we don't teach anything. That goes back to my training again. We don't teach anything to anyone. So the people who actually, and just because you have an academic education does not mean you are knowledgeable. That means you went to school. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you know anything, that you were taught anything, and that you have any base.
Mm-hmm.
But our problem is we're not teaching any. We're not teaching parameters. We're not teaching self-control to anyone. If it feels good, do it. We don't care. And no matter how you get done, we'll reward you at the end of the day. That is a problem. Go ahead to Alabama.
Yeah, I just agree with everything Alex just said. And I feel as though people act as though this guy couldn't have came in there with a 45 milliliter handgun, 16 shots, and did just as much damage, or a 357, and killed the same amount of people. It doesn't make, I mean, if he really wanted to do this, he could do it. I mean, it's just like the people there, if they really want to, if I really still want to get in the airplane and hurt people, you can do it. It can be done. It's not hard. People act like it's impossible. But that's the thing, is like, and we're going to take, it's just like with the healthcare argument. Let's take over the whole system. Instead of just spending $80 billion, we're going to spend a couple of trillion and take over. But it's more to it. It's not about that. It's about repressing and stopping, because as soon as they decide that they want to harm blacks, they decide we are a nuisance on us. And I know that seems far-fetched, but if you'd have told a German in 1930s and in Germany that, hey, they're going to take you guys off the gulags and kill you, they probably would have laughed at you. And I don't put it past nobody to as far as my defense of my family and my loved ones. And I think we as Americans have gotten so comfortable, we just cannot fathom evil on that scale as far as with our own government. But we see it all the time. And see, you can't, as a liberal, you can't say, well, the government is evil, this, and then you want to turn around and say they won't hurt us. So let's trust that they won't arm up and send troops to kill us. I mean, I believe they will.
Go ahead, Stanley.
South Carolina.
He's not on. That's Alabama.
Alabama. I'm hearing you, and you're not the only one. Everybody's going back to Hitler. Do you know your history of what happened, how it happened? You know that during that time when the Germany thing, they lost, first of all, World War One. They were very poor. I mean, they couldn't get bread, they couldn't get food, they couldn't get anything. And they lost basically their patriots, they lost their honor, they lost many things. That's where Hitler came in.
And you don't see that happening here?
He didn't come in like in us with what we have right now. He didn't come
in. Stanley, where are you from? Where are you from, Stanley? What country are you from, Stanley?
I'm from here. But if
you why do you talk like you got an accent like you're from another country?
Yeah, my mom is Haitian.
She's where? She's Haitian.
Haitian.
Haitian. Yeah. Haitian.
Oh, so you Haitian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So like, let's say to Overture, when they overthrew the slave, when they did them wrong, and they overthrew them. What if they couldn't have arms? Why was it outlawed for? Why were slaves denied arms? Because they wanted freedom, right? Do you think that? So you're saying that you don't ever think that the government will ever impinge upon your freedom as a Haitian American, just American, period. You just think
here,
that the government
America?
Is
no.
Yeah. Your back.
That fantasy. I don't have that craziness what a lot of people think. I don't. In America, no. We don't have a dictatorship here. No.
Well, hold on. But Stanley, you can't turn around and then say that they're unfairly locking up young black boys that are truly innocent. Some of the arguments are inconsistent.
No.
You know what I'm saying? If they are truly going after these black guys and doing what you're saying, then when they decide to go out.
One at a time, Stanley. I got to do this one time. I got to hear. What'd you say, Alabama? They're locking up who?
If they decide that they want to do something, like, and I'm gonna take the Branch Davidian compound that act back in the 90s with Janet Reno. They went in those people and killed those people. That was really illegal what they did. They really weren't supposed to do that. They had the right to do what they were doing. But that's what I'm saying. And you think you trust the government, and I think there are countless, okay, it's like, okay, one day America's evil and we're doing all the evil with the CIA and we're doing all this, next day you trust them. I think that's inconsistent. Am I by myself on this? Am I the only one that thinks that's inconsistent?
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're exactly right.
I brought
right.
that up in the break.
So you're basically saying the government is evil. The government, we can't trust the government at all. The government is a... So that case, we should not...
Why does the government need us to be unarmed?
The pure evil...
Hold on, Stanley. Stanley, what did you say?
The way I'm hearing it, it's every American. So if I'm hearing every American hates, don't trust the government, think that the most scariest thing in the world.
Look at the history. Look at the history of our government. Do you actually think that can happen again?
Wow.
I mean, seriously, do you really think that our government is so sincere about how they feel about us that they will not do things that they shouldn't?
No, I don't think he's not so sincere. I always told you that he lies about a lot of things. But
okay,
is the government all that you pretend that it's going to be? Do you think that government basically is going to put us in cage and just take our rights and do whatever they want?
Okay, Stanley, hold on. Okay, I got to take a break in just a second, then I'll turn the mics off and you guys can go ahead. Local call, you can jump back in. Hold on just a second. But check this out. I just watched them scare the crap out of people, telling them that they were going to take away their voting rights in an election, and people believe it. And they stood in line for hours to vote because they felt as though if another party had gotten in, that they were going to go back to Jim Crow. Am I wrong?
Well, not just that, Tracy, but you just saw them up until the 70s say they want to kill black people. Margaret Singer said we need to wipe black people off the face of the earth. We watched them sterilize black people. We watched them put drugs into the black communities on purpose. We watched them do all this stuff they didn't do on purpose, but we're supposed to trust them without guns?
Now let's go back to guns. Remember what happened, because remember you had the right to bear arms and you could walk down the street until the Black Panthers started marching down the street with guns. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they changed the whole law. Remember that?
Yeah.
Now you can't tell me that you trust the government, but you don't trust the government, but they're good people. But they would never do anything to us, yet they have a history of what they've done, and so now we're going to stand in line to vote because they're going to take us back, because if one party gets in, then they're going to do us bad, and we trust them all. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Ms. Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Howdy, howdy.
Wow.
I mean, they purposely said they want to wipe us out, wipe black people out. I mean, and that's what they're doing. 70% of abortion clinics are in black communities on purpose. This is by design. And then not only that, it's been ignored by the black caucus. Everybody's ignoring. You think that's not by design, but yet we can trust these people when they purposely trying to wipe us out and decrease our numbers. There was a time when we made up 40% of this country's population. They trying to do this. And you think that we can trust these people? Please.
But by the way, white has abortion. White people do abortion also. Not only the black people do abortion.
But we make up 45% of them.
Okay.
But we 13% of the population.
And who makes that choice to do
that? That's not by design.
Do somebody come with a gun to force a woman to do that abortion? No. Nobody forced you to.
But
do
if you
abortion.
Place it in that community, you're placing it in the black community.
Okay, so
Margaret Singer said this is what she wanted to do.
Okay.
She did it by on purpose.
Let's say we do agree what you're saying. They're put in that community. As a woman, are you forced to do that abortion, yes or no? Or is it not your decision to do it?
As a woman, I'm going to tell you like this. I'm not going to let you corner me in an argument and say, yeah, of course they make that decision, but at the same time, they target black communities. They target it. This is what she said she wanted to do. She said this is a way to decrease the black population, so let's make sure that we put a lot on them black communities. That's what she's saying.
Problem with black people. We always put all the environment, whatever we do, but we never take accountability for the choices we do.
Well, that's government getting involved, Stanley. Government gives that choice.
We always blame whatever they need, but we never look at ourselves and say, you know what? If you as a mother decide to have an abortion, that's your choice.
Wait a minute, Stanley, you're a hypocrite. You can't do that. You're liberal. You can't say stuff like that. Self-responsibility? You don't believe in self-responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. Stanley, you're a liberal. You can't believe that. You try to hold people accountable. Hold them accountable on their jobs as well. Hold them accountable on their education. You don't want to hold people accountable until it benefits your argument.
I do, but we don't think accountable the people who were greedy enough to do whatever they did in 2008. Was there accountable? There wasn't even one person that was done in, that was gone in prison for almost crashing the system. You want accountability? That's called accountability.
Stanley, that's not Stanley. The Fair Housing Act was in him to claim both them Democrats and Republicans. I don't just you shouted them. You so pro Democrat.
Am I talking about them? I'm talking about the bankers that made the choice of doing what.
Regardless, Stanley. Regardless of the fact, let's not get away from guns. Stanley, let's not get away from guns. So you think that a person that wants to go into an elementary school and kill people will be hindered by the fact that they can't get their hands on the right type of, do you think they just, they won't go in there with a 45 and do the same thing? Is that what you're saying? You don't think they could have killed just as many kids with a powerful 45 handgun, 45 millimeter? You don't think that would have done the same amount of damage?
I'm not saying that that person, like, I agree with what you're saying. If that person wanted to kill, he would have found any way to kill whatever. But I do not.
Do you know you can take all 16 shots in 5 seconds on a 45 and reload?
Yes, you can, and I agree with you to that part. I do not agree that I don't see. Just answer my question. Why should an American citizen have a semi-automatic gun? There is no reason for
that. I'm going to tell you why. Because if I feel as though who are you to tell me how I'm going to protect my family? As long as it's
a semi-automatic gun to protect your family?
If I wanted to protect my family in that way, and I feel like that it's better for me to have 50 shots than 16, then who are you to tell me not?
Hey, Stanley, I already answered your question.
To protect your family. Wow, what kind of mentality are we in America? Really?
Hey, Stanley, I think my answer about it earlier answers your question. It's very simple. We should have the arms to be able to protect our country. Every citizen, that's the only way a country remains free, is that if, in case, the government, that is the natural and inherent check to a corrupt government, is that the people can always rise up and take them out.
But Alex, simple as that. If we're taking your philosophy, that means the rest of the country in the world that don't have that philosophy should be the worst in the world, and they're not. They're not, Alex.
What are you talking about?
Going to go with that philosophy.
No other country has that freedom. No other country has that freedom.
Look around the world, Stanley, and let me show you.
Sir, from Alabama, could I say something?
Go ahead.
This is Steve. I can understand having weapons to protect your family, but I don't think you can do any. If the Army, they have enough firepower where they could actually control and take over the government. So I can see the Second Amendment right to be for protection of your family, but I don't think it was meant to protect you from harm from the government.
What's your name? My name is Alex. I didn't
Steve.
Get to catch your name.
Youngstown.
Hey, Steve. If you go and read the actual verbiage of the Second Amendment, it is very clear. It says that it's for the language explicitly says for free persons to form militia and if you read the the background papers written by Jefferson and other people around it, that was the intention, was to be able to form a militia that was independent of the standing armies of the nation, and that was the exact language that they used, and that was the intended purpose. But the other key thing is that in this country the military is voluntary, unlike most other countries, and that's why they know that the Army, the U.S. Army, would never turn on the American people. They would never do what they do in other countries, because our Army is actually a free Army. It's voluntary, and so put in motion by the founders. Even from the Revolutionary War, it was always. We've always had voluntary service in the military.
But Alex, why don't you tell also that if it wasn't for the decision of the Supreme Court before that, before the 1960s, it says a militia wasn't an individual. They said that. A lot of people, the NRA, pushed that command to have individual right for the gun. Because before, when the Supreme Court said, and look at the Second Amendment, like you're saying, they said a militia. And they said a militia is not an individual person. Until the Supreme Court changed their mind because of the NRA that pushed it and pushed it and pushed it all the way to the 1980s when Reagan was in, that's when we changed the law.
Well, the thing about the Supreme Court, they're very political. You know which way they're going to rule based on the political wind. But I'm going to tell you, go read the Constitution. Please do that first before you argue with me about
Alex,
the Second
I
Amendment.
Did,
no,
I
hold
did,
on, hold on. Let me finish. Please read it
and
before you argue with me about
that,
it because the Second Amendment very clearly says that the right to bear arms for any person shall not be infringed. It says person. It does not say militia. Militia is the first part of the statement, but if you read the second part of the statement, it says the right to bear arms for the citizen will not be infringed. Please read it, and then argue with me about it.
Alex, could I speak to, could I ask you something? Are you a Christian here? Are you there?
Hello?
Alex? I mean, are you a Christian?
Does it matter?
Well, the reason why I bring this up for is because, I mean, do you believe when things like all these different violence occurring, do we believe that we're living in the last days? Because many Christians believe this because, in the Bible it says because of the increasing of lawlessness, people would lax in their love for one another because of distrust. And then I'm reading here in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, telling us that critical times and hard to deal with would be here in the last days. So the Bible is actually telling us that the reason why is this lawless and all these bad things are going on in our country and throughout the world. It's because maybe the Bible is fulfilling itself. Maybe God.
Hold up! I'm a Christian and I do agree with what you just said. But so what are you saying, that we're wrong to defend ourselves? We're wrong to not trust the government.
I'm not.
What is it privy to the point? That's what I'm asking.
I believe that if a person, I'm not saying to take your right as a citizen to take your gun away from you. That's not what I'm saying. I think that, you should have that right, like Alex was saying, that he had, if he didn't have a gun, his life would have been taken. So I think that was a good thing. Now, in fact, myself, I don't believe in guns, but I would probably get a gun myself if it meant my life was in danger and if I was married and I wanted to protect my wife and my family, I would go out and get a gun too.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question because you made a point. You made a point, a real interesting point. You would get a gun. Everybody's pretty clear that they say, okay, you can have a gun. You want a bang bang gun instead of a durr, you don't want one. But let me ask you this. If I think it makes it easier to do this, then it with a gun that's automatic, who are you to tell me I can't? Because if a guy comes in my house with a 9mm and he hear me, even if I miss, easy, believe me, he will never come back. So I think I can make that choice. I don't think they should make that choice for me. I don't think you have to say what type. I mean, of course, anything short of a nuclear bomb or something, something real crazy, like a grenade launcher, maybe not, maybe then, okay, maybe.
He's got a great point, and the thing is if the criminals, which they can illegally, anybody who's going to burst into your house has access to these automatic weapons, I think I should have access to them as well, legally, to defend myself, because, it's like bringing a paperclip to a knife fight or a knife gun fight.
It is Michigan.
Your defense argument. I could come with the same thing that the defense one part, but some of those people will snap or cracked up and everything. They said, "Oh, I had a gun and I shot the person."
Hold on, Stanley. Hold up, Michigan. Go ahead, because you ain't tried to say nothing all day long. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. All
right.
Yeah, well, I think when you have a culture of violence, which I think America is, it's in the nature of America, you know, taking the guns won't stop that. I'm in support of people getting tanks. If you can create a nuclear bomb in America, create that. Tanks. What you call those? Air-to-air missiles. What you call them things?
Ooh.
The JDAM?
Surface-to-air.
I'm in agreement with people in America getting all of that because I think the culture is going to implode. So, actually, I think that's a good thing. So, tanks, and everything.
And I got to also say, and I got to throw this in on what you just said, because we live in a very, very, very violent. Our games, our entertainment, and our music over the last 40 years has become excessively violent. There are no longer games like Pong and Pac-Man. You know, when you look at 187 and Murder Mob or whatever the games are today, there are some serious violent games out there.
Tracy, look at the television shows. Look at the CSI TV shows. You know, the
CSI. Did you watch Scandal? We just saw the president get shot in the head.
Yeah, and it's graphic.
Absolutely.
They've got the computer ways and they make up things to make the stuff graphic, and you sit and watch. You go, oh, okay.
The movies that we watch, if you're not getting killed, shot, cars turning over, and blowing stuff up, we're not watching it.
That's right. And I, the only other thing I was going to say something to Stanley.
Go ahead, Steve.
What,
I have something to say.
Hold on.
To be personal with him. So I didn't mean to get too personal.
Go ahead, Steve. What are you saying? What are you talking about?
I was saying that I didn't mean to get personal with that man, Alex. So I'm sorry about that, sir, for asking you personally. And that's all I have to say. Bye, Mr. Tracy.
Hey, love you, Mr. Steve. Have a good day.
And then Stanley, as far as Stanley, it appears that Stanley, now he has a mentality in an outlook that it doesn't fit the American model, you know. So to Stanley, I mean, he clearly is in the wrong culture. And
I
if he thinks
Stanley in the wrong culture.
Well, yes, he is.
Why is Stanley in the wrong culture?
Well,
because Tracy, I was just outside yesterday over by my mom's house. Somebody has one of those guns. They shooting it off. And I'm talking about they letting go, I swear, maybe 50 rounds. I mean, they letting them go. And I hear it all the time. Those guys decide they want to come in my house. Those are thugs, a lot of them. Dope boys. Do you honestly think if they outlaw those guns, them guns is just like drugs. You outlaw drugs, it's going to create another market.
Stanley has more of an African centered cult, African centered mind state, and not an American mind state. And I think he what he's trying to do is make he wants his mind state to be American based off the way he thinks, but it don't work like that. And I
got to throw this in the, you know, you got a point there, but, you know, think about this. Do you know New Year's is getting ready to come, and what happens in the inner city on New Year's Eve at midnight?
They let them go.
Do we understand that when bullets come up, there's something called gravity, they come back. I had a bullet in the hood of my BMW, in the roof of my BMW, because somebody was shooting, and what goes up comes down. And we want to talk about gun control. Those people are not going to let those guns go. I'm with you, Alabama. If they have to hide them in a tin can in the backyard, they're not letting them go. Stanley?
I'm here, but President Obama's going to do something, Tracy.
He is. He's going to make sure that people like you don't get them.
Yeah, Stanley. I feel a little sorry for you, Stanley.
And I feel a little bit sorry. And Tracy, to go back to what you said,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Those movies and those games and everything, they're around the world, and they are not affected, those people. So how do you explain that? They're human beings around the world that see the same movie that you do, that see
the same cheating
that you do. Yes, they do.
They do not see those movies, Stan. A lot of those are banned in several different countries, and there's a clamoring for people to get their hands on American-made movies because they tend to be more violent than any movies made around the globe.
No, they was just talking about that on the news about, I think it was Japan, one of those Asian countries is number one with the amount of violence and gore in their video games. That's for public consumption. It wasn't America.
But you had consumption in Japan?
I think it was Japan.
You're saying that, I understand that they make those games, but they actually sell them there? They specifically sell them to Americans is what I'm asking.
They're over there.
In the public. And they have more gore and guts and all that stuff than the American ones.
Let's not get it twisted.
Violent video games and TV movies have a negative impact on youth. This just came out today.
It desensitizes you.
And we play them. Remember, over there, they do the same. But when you commit a crime over in Japan, you don't go to a penal institution country club in an orange suit where you have visitors and things are cool. You don't want to go to jail, and you don't want to go to prison in Japan. You don't want to go to prison in China. Those rights that you have that with the ACLU and that they take into the penal system of the United States of America, you don't want to go to prison over there. The difference between us and them is you can go to prison in our penal system and still have your rights.
And you got a passport, Stanley?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But Tracy, I disagree with you. So let's look at our neighbor, Tracy. How come Canada, which are our neighbor, has the same laws of this? You could visit.
No, they don't, Stanley.
Yes, they do. Yes, they
no,
do,
they don't.
Tracy. Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Their constitutional rights and their penal system is not the same as America.
It is less severe than America.
Listen, it may not be as violent as Mexico, but it is not the same as America.
What's the difference between the penal system of Canada and the penal system of America?
Just because of the severity of it. We have to understand.
What do you mean the severity
listen,
of it?
Do you realize that if you go into the penal system of the United States of America and you have a health issue, they will take care of your liver transplant?
And you think in Canada they don't?
No.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
You know in Canada
how much you spend per year for people in prison? They spend $50,000 per year per prisoner.
I don't care what they spend. We're talking about their rights. Rights have a lot to do. We're not talking about how much they spend. I don't care how much you spend.
Tracy,
the question
trust
is,
me.
Stanley, the question is the rights of them. We
they have the same
our,
right that you're talking about. Show me all the rights that you're saying.
Stanley,
that you
go
have
online and Google.
Canada.
Stanley, go on. I'm not doing the research. Go online and Google. Just simply Google the rights of penal of prisons in the United States prison system. We are not afraid of jail like we should.
One thing we need to be aware of is that Canada, like per capita, has a lot more firearms than we do here in the United States, and so that should point out something very big to us. That why is it that Canada has all these guns, but they don't have the same violence. And so it comes down to the culture and the different. It comes down to the culture and the society and just society in general. It's not, you can't blame it on the gun. So we need to be more intellectually honest about about the violence and not look for a scapegoat in the gun, because Canadians have just as many guns, if not more, and they're not out over there killing each other. I mean, well, they are. Well, they are killing each other, but just not as much as we are, though.
Well, the Canadian culture sure is different than ours.
Very much so.
And their population is what? I don't know what the population of Canada is. It's got to be like a tenth of ours. There can't be that many people up there. And you know, when you have a nation of 335 million people, that's an unwieldy group of folks. That's the genius of our system here. We've got means to work with it through the states. Canada just, you know, it's just a whole different ball of apples up there.
I'm trying to see if I can find the number.
I want to say they're a more homogenous society, but they aren't. They have a diverse population up there, from folks from all over the world live in Canada. Toronto is supposed to be one of the most ethnically diverse countries in the world.
It is, and it is. But again, we are Americans, and we have a constitution. But you got to understand what we breed. Look at what we breed. We breed violence. Our kids, we don't teach them self control.
They have legalized drugs in Canada? They have. Is their approach to that a little different than ours?
I don't know
much about the Canadian government and how it works. I'm kind of looking it up here to find out what their population is.
You know what? I have a very good friend who lives in Canada. Perhaps I'll have him call in the next week or two and give you some ideas on that.
I would love that.
Yeah. He's a good guy, too. He's been up there his entire life. He's in his mid to late 60s, so he's seen quite a bit and the way the laws have changed in Canada and such. So he should be able to give you a pretty good idea.
What's really amazing? Canadians still want to become Americans.
Here we go. Their population is 35 million, which is almost about a tenth of ours.
Right.
You know, it would be like if you're managing, and you get a lot of these countries, particularly in Europe, with these smaller populations, it's a lot easier to manage 35 million people than 335 million people.
Yeah.
You know, we're a contentious bunch.
and right now they have 1.9 million valid licenses in 2012
for
firearms.
So they have what's their firearm licensure again?
1.9 million.
1.9 million.
You do the math.
Is the guy who said about the end of the world, is he still on the phone?
What did he say about the end of the world?
Well, the Bible says the lawlessness is the guns and stuff like that is what is a prophecy.
That was yesterday, wasn't it?
No, it was just a guy on here who was talking to Alex.
During the break, somebody was talking about that.
That must have been Steve.
Oh, he's gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229.
I'll tell you, much of the population of Canada is, they were supporters of the British.
Yes.
That left the United States to move to Canada because
yes.
They were loyal to the king. Those British, they must have that culture up there. They're a little bit more.
They're different.
and but, they got the French.
But their freedoms are different, too.
And they got the French, who have their own set of.
That's true. That's a whole other issue.
That's a whole other issue.
My concern is, if we don't teach self-control, you have to know, even if you are mentally deranged, there's certain things that you cannot do because there are repercussions for your actions.
Yeah.
And you can teach that to people who are mentally challenged. You can teach that to people who are children. You teach that to everyone. Our problem in America now is we have no control.
Yep.
We don't teach controls. We tell everybody, just push beyond your capacity and you can do whatever you choose. And that's not how a system works. Everybody has to have limitations.
Yeah.
Limitations tell you no matter how mad you get, you don't pull a gun and shoot.
And the other issue is, and this bothers me a lot, we have pushed morality out of the public sector. If you take the Ten Commandments out of the schools, where are they going to learn on a moral level, thou shalt not kill?
Oh, boy, here we go with Stan. I know that argument well. I've heard it.
But see, that's different. You can kill. You just can't kill. You don't understand, Mark. You can kill, but you don't kill. Because, see, if people don't believe in God, they don't want to believe in God, and you just don't kill. Ain't that right, Stanley? He left.
Hey, but, this is what the wheels come off the consciousness for me with you guys. Anytime you start talking about America and about morals, I don't know where that's like oil and water to me. I mean, from a historical standpoint, that's like oil and water.
But not all Americans were amoral.
Yeah, I agree with Michigan Man.
Are you kidding?
But not all but now let me ask you, were Americans all Americans amoral?
Immoral humans. I think Americans are the most immoral humans on the planet.
Why is that?
Well, if you don't know that, Tracy.
Answer the question. Why is that? Why are we that way?
Oh, you agreeing that you're that way?
No, I'm saying why are we that way? You said that you believe that we are the most amoral people on the face of the planet. So the question is, why is that? And are all Americans amoral?
Hey, Tracy, I got a bunch of flack on my Facebook page the other day because I basically was talking about Obama. I said, he was pretending to cry over those kids in Connecticut when just last month he just killed, I think it was something like 70 kids in Pakistan from a drone strike. He's killing kids every other week. But then it's just unreal. Like, what, you know, the rest of the world has to look at America like, really? I mean,
that's why we're not going to say America. When they say they're going to talk about somebody.
See, you're missing
what they call
the
human
y'all.
Rights issues, right?
No, y'all missing the point. See, you're missing the point, Michigan. We can kill yours, we just can't kill mine.
You think I'm missing that?
I'm just saying.
Now, you know better than that.
Come on now, you got to realize, I can kill yours, but you can't kill mine. But you have to understand the political posturing and the political theater that has gone on in the last 5 days.
Well, if the world is looking for a moral compass, I would recommend they not look at America.
Well, listen, wait a second. There's other places you can't look at either. You got to look at places like Iraq where tens of thousands of people were killed with their own chemical weapons. You got to look at Russia under Stalin and under some of the other czars and leaders in Russia, where they were killing tens and thousands of their own people. You got to look at Syria and what they're doing with chemical weapons and trying to wipe a country called Israel off the face of the map, meaning that you kill everybody there. You can't just say that America is the most evil country on the planet.
I didn't say evil.
He's not evil. We're unmoral. Yeah. We don't have no morals. And we don't.
Say evil. No.
By killing, that doesn't make you evil.
No. But he didn't say evil.
Didn't
he
say
said
evil.
Moral. He said moral.
All right. You're right. He did. No. I can't argue that.
He said
that.
Moral. And you can't argue with that because look at what's going on with the morality of America. There is none.
That's correct, but in our founding documents and our founding ideals and what this country was supposed to be is not an immoral idea. We've made ourselves immoral through the acts of man.
Well, maybe it was the people who was attempting to bring those universal morality ideals. Maybe they tainted them when they tried to bring them.
This country has always had values. I think the problem that I have is that, at least in my lifetime, because when I was going to elementary school, I mean, we certainly ran our schools different than we run them now. Right now, everything's relative. Well, where do you draw the line with relative morality? You can't, and there's nowhere for anyone to say, here is my moral compass. That moral compass is going to be different for everybody. I'm a Christian, but maybe when you get down to my core beliefs, I'm not the same kind of a Christian as most Christians are. I tend to be a little bit Buddhist in my outlook of life. But at least that's where I go for my moral compass. And where you can't go, and what the schools are trying to do is have you look to the government to be the moral compass. They'll never be a moral compass. That's not their function. They're supposed to be doing other things. And yet, when you pull these kinds of issues out of the public schools, these kids are left floundering. They're not getting it at home. They're not getting it in the schools. They're not getting it anywhere.
Well, you're not allowed to teach it at home. Well, listen. I have a question for you guys, and I'm going to take my break, and when I come back, I want us to finish this.
we've taken the family role out of the family. There's no mother, father, children. Women are no longer home nurturing, and men are no longer working and making a living and providing for their families. Does that have anything to do with what's going on in the streets of America today when it comes to the violence? I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Again, the number is 347-945-529. We'll be right back.
And money, and each unit is emails fast to avoid compliance and litigation penalties. Easy setup and single instant storage will save you time and money. And if you need help, you'll talk to a live human. Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? A new study says
Is anybody in here?
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hey, you know what, you know, Stanley, when you get off the line and I go on the break, it gets quiet in there because the more talkative people are gone, and you in South Carolina, so they were sitting there being quiet. That's why you didn't hear anything, because their mics were off. And all they had to do was, you know, jump in and start talking. I told them I was going to do that, but they weren't listening. Well, listen, the number is 347-945-5229. We want to hear from you today. I've got some people that called in. Oh, I guess they look back out. Matt, your mic is on. Mark Manny's in the studio with me. Michigan, your mic is on. And Alex, your mic is on also. You guys are being very, very quiet.
I'm here.
I know y'all here. Local call, your mic is on.
Hey,
see what I'm saying?
Tracy, who was the person that asked, he asked a question about, mentioned about the increasing of lawlessness. Well, Jesus was the one who said that. He said because of the increasing of lawlessness, he said the greater number would cool off, meaning at one time, you know, we had trust with one another, we loved, and we respected one another, but as time went on and people became more lawless, people began to lose more trust and things like that. Because there were a time people used to see somebody walking, they would give them a ride. People were more neighborly, let's say maybe 50, 60, or even 100 years ago. And, you know, people left their doors unlocked. You know, we lived in a society that practiced, you know, laws and were more lawless. I mean, people were more trusting and more kind to one another, but because as time went on, people became more lawless. And that's because people started to lose love and distrust for one another. Now, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and of course, I'm not, you know, a Bible scholar or a Christian. I'm going on the basis of this one religion that I associate with. And of course, I've also gone to other denominations, and I've listened to ministers on the radio. And they mentioned that the, you know, that 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, talks about critical times is hard would be here. I think the King James says terrible times hard would be. In other words, that's saying that you know, the Bible is saying that we could be living in the last days.
See,
we don't
see. Go ahead.
Bring it into this because Jesus said he'll come as a thief in the night.
Steve, you didn't go too far. You didn't preach the sermonette.
I mean, I'm not trying to preach.
Yeah, you did.
Just...
So my question is, going back to what we're talking about with violence, you're right, the Bible does say that, but the question is, when do we as Americans start saying, you know, because, see, the laws right now that are being made, these laws are becoming, they're emotional laws. Just like when everybody screams about when we went to war in Iran. It was based upon an emotional decision that Congress allowed President Bush to go.
Well, Ms. Tracy, what I have to say, a person who has mental problems probably shouldn't be allowed to get a gun.
And he wasn't allowed to get a gun. He didn't buy the gun. He stole the gun from his mama.
Or maybe his mother probably shouldn't have had any guns around the house.
Come on now.
So he can get a hold of. I mean, maybe his mother probably shouldn't even taught him how to use it. Because if she knew our son had some type of problems, he really shouldn't even had any guns at all.
And the point being in all of that is that this was not a gun problem. It wasn't even a gun law problem.
No.
This is how it works. This is what happens. When you can't get one way, he goes and he steals one from somebody who shouldn't have it. And those are tough problems. If you just look at guns, this problem's not going to go away.
Let me ask this. Have we found out why and the connection that he had to the school? Because they tell me it was not his mother inside that school. Now, am I getting this right or wrong?
What was that again, Tracy?
See, when it was initially reported, his mom was supposed to be a person that worked inside the school.
Yes.
But they found that not to be true.
They found lots of stuff not to be true as this reporting went
on. As this continues on,
yeah.
He had no connection with the school.
Actually, I think he went to school there. He had problems there. He had Asperger's. And they did. Do you know what even with Asperger's syndrome?
Asperger's, it's something that has to do with, it's a mental illness, but it's close to a...
Autism.
It
resembles autism. I've got a client who has Asperger's.
Okay.
In fact, I have two clients who have Asperger's syndrome. These are people who... You talk to them and they're normal.
Okay.
But their brains aren't processing the right way. The people that I know that have Asperger's are gentle people. They are relatively quiet, but they can't function. You know, how they perceive the world doesn't click the same way as you and I. And they tend to be loners, and they have a kind of a simplified view of life, and they're somewhat antisocial. The one particular individual that I deal with that has Asperger's just completely cuts off ties with his family. He doesn't, and he'll come, and as a client, I have to talk to him, and I say, you know, call me once a week so I can talk to you. And he'll call me once every 6 months. And he'll say, you know, you told me to call, so I'm calling. Well, that conversation was 6 months ago. I said, I need you to sign papers. And he comes in, and he signs me. He doesn't drive. It's really, they're interesting folks. They're nice. God looks after them. Something else had to be going on with this kid in Connecticut. I'm gonna bet that he was schizophrenic. I'm going to bet when they get down to it, that's what they're going to find. You just don't go off the deep end, kill your mother, and kill 20 people because mom might send you
away.
Did
he kill his mom?
He killed his mom.
He did kill his mom?
Yeah.
So the woman that he found was his mom. They found was his mom.
With his mother, yeah. Four or five bullets
place.
In the brain.
What did you say, Matt?
It was in that separate place other than the schools where they found his mother.
Okay, because the initial reports didn't have any of that in there. They had mother being at the school, and she was a teacher there, and she was actually unemployed somewhere.
She was a
A kindergarten teacher, as far as some of the reports I heard.
Wow.
Now, that's it's a tragedy top to bottom. I just don't know what law you can have that will stop that from happening.
You know, there's really not a law, and it comes down a lot of it, and I know a lot of people are saying, no, it's not video games, no, it's not this, but it really does deal with what your children are looking at, watching, or hearing about, and the disconnection of the parent and the child. I mean, just last night, and this was a reminder to me that I need to clamp down on my kids a little bit more, I was watching a show, and this is a little disconnected, but I was watching a show on the Science Channel about Earth received an alien signal And it was 2 hours of a hypothetical situation of how would society react to this. And, you know, all of a sudden we find out that they're not 50,000 light years away like what we thought. They were actually on our back door and the whole deal. My son came up and he's watching it with me and he says, out of nowhere, he's 9 years old, out of nowhere, and I don't understand where it came from. He says, that would be cool if they had a huge laser and a war started. And I went, whoa, you know, and I looked at him and I go, what are you talking about? And then I explained it extremely harshly about what would happen if that were to occur, and he stopped immediately, and, I mean, literally, he had a look on his face like, you know what, that was a stupid thing for me to say. You know, it was a reminder to me. But people need to talk to their children more about the difference in fantasy and what can really happen, as well as keep an eye on what their kids are doing.
But, you know, when we were coming up, you know, we were guarded more. I mean, there was one television.
Yep.
Three channels.
I was allowed to watch it on Friday and Saturday night.
That's it.
That was it.
You had curfew. You had bedtimes. There was one phone. It had a cord on it. You shared it with everyone.
We shared it with our neighbors. I remember the party lines. We had a party line.
And so right now, there is so autonomy. Everything is independent. Everybody has their own TV in their own room.
Yep.
And you're raised with TVs in your room.
Yeah.
But Tracy?
And, yes, go ahead, Stanley.
The thing is, I'm listening to what you're saying, but if that was true, how come other country has the same thing as us? France has the same thing. You go around the world, you go to Europe, you go to France, you go to Germany, you go to Canada, you go to
those
countries.
How many times do I have to say this?
So they don't have the same thing as us, but they don't have the same Stanley.
You keep on asking the same question. I'm gonna give you the same answer until Jesus comes, because the culture is different.
Okay, but I agree with you. The culture is different, but don't blame the culture is different. But it's not.
You have
the TV.
To,
it's
Stanley.
Not the TV,
Stanley.
It's not the,
Stanley. Listen. You ask the question. Listen to this. In the inner city, you see black-on-black crime, correct?
Correct.
Okay. In the suburbs, you see mass killing, correct?
Correct.
Is there a difference between the cultures of killings? But is a life still a life?
A life still a life, in my eyes, yeah.
So when you ask about the difference between America and France, you got to understand the American culture and the France culture is two different cultures. Totally different. And also how they raise their children, how they, even if they have violent television, they still raise them differently.
And
you
I
know,
agree with you that.
Their eating habits are good. And even if they have TV, they're not raising their children with television. We use TV as a babysitter. Do we understand that? We put DVD monitors in our cars now.
Yeah.
To babysit the kids.
Oh, geez, sir. These things, they got TV in the bathrooms, TVs are in the kitchen, TVs are in the
That's what I'm saying.
TVs
you got
in the family
room. You got TVs in the tub.
You know, enough. How many TVs do you need?
And they all hook to all kinds of cable. We have thousands of channels of cable, and we're not raising our children. Well, should I say we're raising them, but we're not training them. How do you have a child?
Hey, Trey,
yeah.
It sounds like some of what you all are describing is just the evolution, the technological evolution of this particular culture when you talk about, you know, having multiple TVs now. And well, I mean, it's almost like it appears that you all are blaming the technological evolution of this culture for the nature of the people in the culture.
I asked a question at the top of the hour, and I said, with women coming out of the home and us turning our children over to society, does that have something to do with the outcomes that we see in the street?
No. It's the society that we live. It's the modality that we have. The mentality that we have as Americans is the violent mentality that we have that makes the difference. It's not the TV's fault. It's not the video.
That's not what I asked, Stanley. I said, is it the mother coming out of the house? See, at one time, mom was there, so TV was not. Technology was not raising our kids. Mom was raising our children. She was training our children. She was putting in, she was instilling in limitations and programming them to be productive adults. Now mom is out making more money than dad. Dad leaves, and mom is single again. And everything else, and our children are being raised by everything else.
One of the comments I made to Tracy during the break is that when we have these kinds of conversations, it's always interesting. The things always go back to the breakdown of the family and family life in America. When you've got parents working shifts, single family parents, you know, how are you going to handle raising children? I don't want to criticize folks that do that because everybody has their circumstance, but I think we really need to take a look at the family unit in the United States and take a look at the, what makes the core of our society. I was watching a television program this morning, and they it was the show with Urkel.
Family Matters.
Yeah, and they were in the classroom, and the teacher was talking about the core building block of our society is the family. I don't know if that's the case anymore. Where are people supposed to go for support, for values, for love, for understanding?
Can I ask the gentleman a question?
Acceptance, where do they go?
Can I ask the gentleman a question?
Yeah.
Can you give me the time frame when the concept that you're talking about, the family being the cornerstone, when did that become an edict or a pillar of American thinking? What time frame?
It's always been the pillar of American thinking. Look at any sociologist.
Okay, it's always been that. That's good enough. Then how could you intentionally tear up the black family with that understanding in mind? Why did you intentionally tear it up?
I agree 100%. And if you're going to look for a time when the breakdown of the family started to take place, and I think two things did it, broke the family down. I think the first thing that broke the family down was the way they set up aid to dependent children back in the 1960s. And the second thing that broke it down was the advent of widespread available birth control and contraception.
Well, no, I'm talking about.
And I think
that's
those
not
are the
when
two
you first
tore.
That's not
broke
when you
the
tore,
family down.
That's not when you initially tore apart the black family in the 60s. You said it's always been the pillar and the cornerstone of American thinking. You did that as soon as you brought us over here.
But you, now hold on. See, this is the issue. Now we gotta understand.
Okay, we don't want to. That wasn't the American
hold
mind
on.
Then. Was
hold on. But now hold on. Hold on. No, no. You
oh,
got. Well, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
I don't need you to defend white folk either, Mr.
Man.
No.
I don't need you to defend white people, Tracy.
No,
I'll
I'm
let
not
him
defend.
Ask.
No, listen. This is my issue. This is not defending white people.
Oh, okay.
The question is, you need to target the white people that you're talking to that actually did it.
But it was the culture.
No, wait a minute, hold on. Hold, no, listen to what I'm saying. See, we keep on taking all white people and putting them in the same bucket.
When
and
you're
all
analyzing
people, hold
a
on,
culture,
hold,
when you're analyzing
no, no,
culture,
No.
You don't analyze individuals.
Michigan.
You
analyze Michigan,
the momentum.
Michigan. I'm talking about a culture.
Oh.
Listen to what I'm saying. You can't tell me that you had Italian-American slave owners.
Okay.
And so I'm asking, see, and our problem is we put all white people of the same hue in the same culture, and they're not.
Well, but
yeah,
are
you're
they?
Not no,
white,
Tracy,
since you're not
Tracy,
white,
that
though,
was
Tracy.
Just opportunity, though.
Yeah, since you're not
Italians,
white.
Italians, they just enslaved the East Africans. That's the reason, you know, they just went over to what's known now as Eritrea and parts of Ethiopia and Somalia. And they just enslaved them because that was the opportunity for them.
So I think, in part, I agree with Michigan Man in talking about, you know, looking at the culture of
But my
of
question
things.
Is, but see, if you're talking about Africans over in Italy versus Africans over in America, which was two different
it's
types of slavery.
Thing. It's the same thing.
It's not the same thing. Black people had slaves.
Let's have this conversation.
But Tracy,
I'm not talking about the breakdown of the African-American society. I'm talking about the breakdown in the white society because we're talking in terms of white males who've gone off the deep end going around shooting people in schools.
Okay,
what
so
the topic was.
The reason I brought that up was, and that's a good point that you make, if me and you are having a conversation about the breakdown of the family, but you're doing it in an American context, you see how I'm not going to even see eye to eye with you on what family you're even talking about. Because
what?
I wouldn't look at the white male that's, you know, going around shooting up or when you guys is. I will be looking at from my historical perspective. So
hold
I'm
on,
looking
Michigan,
there,
Michigan,
so I can't
how
understand.
How the heck you get the African-American perspective when we're talking about a white boy? That's crazy.
Hold on. So I don't know why you keep jumping in here trying to, you know, answer for white folk.
I'm not talking about. Talking about white
but
folk.
This was me and him talking though.
I know, you done took the conversation from one area of life back to black folk, and black folks ain't got nothing to do with being shot in Connecticut in this gun control thing, unless you're talking about inner city crime and drugs.
No, you were talking about the breakdown of the family right now.
But again, the breakdown
not
of the
shooting. You were talking about the breakdown of the family.
No, I was talking about the breakdown of the family, which is causing violence, which is the stopping parameters.
Okay, and so my point was, so that's what I'm saying. When you were talking about, oh, we had this, we had that, and then a gentleman came and said, oh, we had this and we had that. Well,
same?
But when you say the breakdown of the family, I'm just telling you, as a listener, I'm telling you where my mind goes.
But you're Afrocentric in all things. You have to go back to black, and I'm trying to go back to family.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. So he's talking about the breakdown of the family He said it was an American value, right? So I just was trying to get to understand what he meant I wanted to know when did that become an American value. And the answer he gave it to you from his perspective. Because they told our family, so, you know, it did go off, but I just wanted to, you know, get an answer from him, and then you jumped in
trying to be the spokesperson
for him.
But this is not being a spokesperson. I'm talking to an Italian.
You let him answer my question. We could have moved on.
No, because, see, I have a problem. If you want to talk about
I do.
My problem is if you want to talk about slavery, we need to talk about the people who were actually enslaving African Americans.
Talking about the breakdown of the
family. Breakdown of the family of the black people came out of slavery, which Italian Americans were not the slave owners.
So it did not come from taking the mother out. So that's what I'm saying. So who are you when you say we had the mother in the home? Who are you talking about? Because that was not the breakdown of the African American family, which you are
but
one of.
But it was. Because back in the Great Society, back in the 60s, we had a family unit.
We way before the 60s.
No. Before the 60s, if you go back that far, if you want to go back to slavery,
okay,
even if they destroyed, if you go back to Africanism when we came over here and they took the family away from us,
okay,
we still found a way to go back to having a mom and a dad in a house, even if we couldn't find the right dad.
Thank you, Tracy.
We had respect. If you go back to Jim Crow, we found a way to have a man in the house. But when the Great Society came along, they made sure that not only do you not have a man in the house, you don't even have anywhere close to you.
But was that the man's choice? I mean, was that society or was that the woman's choice?
That was what my question was. Was taking the woman out of the house and putting in her into the workplace and giving her more money than the man, does that have something to do with going on today? And
hey,
I
Tracy,
think it does.
When you're talking about society at large, perhaps, but if you look at the microcosm of African Americans, maybe not so much, because honestly, if you look at our history, there really wasn't a time when black women weren't working.
But a man was always in the house.
Just as hard as the man.
but
yeah,
a man
so,
was in the house. Even if she made more money, even if she worked there, there was a man. The Great Society took the man out of the house of the black a black female.
No, I don't think it's the Great Society that took out the man out of the house. It's the mentality that a lot of black women had, which I don't need a black man. I don't need a man.
No, Stanley, go back, baby, honey, honey, go back. Go back to where welfare came in and they said you could not have a man around, even if it was a children's father.
Okay.
They not only took him away, they told him don't come back.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand the concepts that you're talking about. I'm certainly not familiar with the history of the black family. I'm not African American. I'm an Italian American. On the other hand, I read the history books, and you know I kind of see what happens. I understand what you're saying, but the 1960s, they actually institutionalized it. When you have laws put on the books saying no man in the family of a woman who's getting aid to dependent children, that's the government's coming in there, and they made it a law. They institutionalized it. It became part of our legal lexicon. I've never seen anything like it. And by the time they realized what was going on, and here's the thing, this ADC issue, it's not necessarily an African-American issue. There's more white women than black women that were receiving these kinds of government benefits. It affected white families, black families, all sorts of families. And so if you're looking at America as a whole, you're going to point to one thing where they take, which may have been going on in the African-American community for 200 years, I don't know, but I know when they institutionalized it. I know when they put the law on the books, and it just didn't affect African-American families. It affected every single family, and it just broke down. The family started breaking down.
Because you don't see the disrespect inside of black families until you see this coming in. At one time, there is no way in the world you would go home and call your mama a bitch and walk away and say it was okay until now.
Tracy,
so you can't blame that on slavery.
Oh, boy.
Now, you want to blame that on slavery?
No, you can't.
Tracy.
You can't blame it on slavery. No.
We'll see.
You can blame lots of things on slavery. I don't think that's one of them.
We allow that.
Because, the effect of the what the government did with in the Great Society, it affected all races. It affected Hispanics. It affected whites. It affected Italians. It affected African Americans.
Tracy, do you know the rate of single parent headed households for European families in America?
No, but I know ours is 72.
Okay. Do you know what theirs is?
I know theirs is way lower than ours.
I'm going to take an educated guess and say it's in the 35% to 40% range. It's pretty high in climbing.
Okay.
It's climbing. And there's a lot of reasons for that.
One of the things I know Trace ain't going to agree with that, but even Bobby Wright, psychologist, said it. When you're assessing black family life, you cannot use the American family, the European American family, as the marker or the gauge or the focal point to see to
Michigan.
I'm going to stop you.
Because that was not the conversation, honey. We were not assessing. We were not assessing the black man and the black family.
What I was getting ready to say was, okay, then here's the point. This universal assessment of the breakdown of what you're calling, it's saying the same thing a different way. The breakdown of what you're calling the American family, there is no universal assessment.
But listen to me, we were not talking about black people.
I said there is no universal assessment.
But we weren't trying to universally, and what I'm saying is, there are some of us who have been a Europeanized. It's true. You live in America. You believe you're American. You believe you have equal rights, and you assimilated into the system, into the program of America.
That's just your ignorance.
We're talking about what it is, and when we're talking about a white boy who goes into a school in Newtown, Connecticut, shoots it up,
yeah.
and a black boy who goes down the street and shoots up his neighbor down the street over a pair of tennis shoes.
Yeah.
They're both violent acts.
Yeah.
If you look at the similarities in the back of them, you're going to see a lot of the alignment's going to line up.
Okay. Then you're so why don't you hear the talk of black on black violence, which it is a psychological problem?
Again, we were talking about
you don't hear the American culture coming behind that issue as a psychological problem like they do with the gentleman who did what he just did. But
because
anytime you have a certain
because
group
we
of these
don't
black
because we as a community
other,
ourselves don't care unless
a
white boy kills. And, well, no, Phil, you asked me the question. The reason
which
we
one
don't
you gonna
care,
be, Tracy? Which one
listen,
you gonna be now?
Because we don't care as African Americans about black
the,
people dying.
The American, well, but you're talking about this issue on the radio as an American. Don't the American care about that one?
No.
Wait.
They don't care about black people dying.
What do you mean?
They?
You I
don't
thought
care.
You was one.
No, because this, you don't care. They don't care. It's just that simple. We kill each other every day, and we don't come and have vigils and make gun laws and President Obama don't cry when people dying in the streets. But you get 20 kids dying in one school. He get on TV, starts crying, and we start to clap it.
But
come on.
89% of all white on white homicide is on the white community, it's white on white homicide. So what are you?
Yeah, but they don't. But point? They don't kill like we do. We kill like
it's
a business.
Homicide, huh?
No, it's a business. If you look at how many African American males kill each other in a year, look at what it is—an epidemic in Chicago, and ain't nobody saying nothing. And you want to bring this into
any,
the equation?
No, Tracy, if any group of people. People who are killed are normally killed by people that they know. Most white people are killed by whites. Most blacks are killed by blacks. And so it's really, I really hate that media propaganda of focusing on black crime. Nobody says white on white
right.
on white crime. It,
but
it's
they
insane.
Don't kill
and,
like
and
it's
I
a
hate,
business.
I hate it. And you need you really should stop propagating that because it's,
listen,
it's really
Alex,
it's damaging.
Look at the statistical numbers. Look at the statistical number when it comes to how many black males are getting killed in the streets of America today.
Okay, so Tracy, let's follow that then. So let's say you're bringing that up because you want to do something about it, right? I'm assuming you're bringing that up because you want
to
do something about
listen
it.
Listen
right?
to what I'm saying. That was not the conversation.
I know, but
you want to talk about it because we always got to get back to that.
No. This is a general conversation dealing with. You said you talked about family.
And again,
words,
I want
to
know.
Just talking to
I want to know. I want to know. Is it an issue of women actually going out thinking that they're men?
No, in the black
that
community,
that was the question.
No,
it is because
about,
guess what?
In
the black community,
opinion,
with Stanley and
community.
I actually agree. Our problem is we feel as though we don't need a man, and we kick him out because we can go get a job, and we act like the children that he gave us they don't need a father.
That's true.
No, I agree with that. But
I agree.
That
and so
a,
the question was,
a,
is it the breakdown in the family that's causing the violence in the streets, whether it be black or white? And I believe the answer is yes. Because
well,
when you don't have
do you
a family
think,
unit, you don't have a life.
Do you really think this guy killing all those school kids is because he had a dysfunctional family? I mean,
absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because dysfunctional families have... I mean, America has always had dysfunctional families. I mean, so it's just
absolutely.
I just don't buy
it.
I mean,
you don't know
the severity
of
the dysfunction.
Time, I have.
Well, I think when they go and they look at this guy and they look at his family, we obviously don't know what they're going to find. But here's what we know: that there was a divorce. We know that there was a lot of money. We know that the brother hadn't talked to the shooter for 2 or some years. We know that the mother was a little bit of a whack job. And so you wonder what was going on. And it'll be interesting. And they're going to be studying this family
for a very long time
to look at the dynamic. You know, here is an affluent white family that had, I mean, this guy, the father was making in excess of $1 million a year, big shot over at General Electric. And yet he couldn't stay with the wife, and somehow the whack job son ended up with the mother. Now, you wonder whether the father had had enough. of trying to do. This woman was thought the end of the world was coming.
Well, good luck.
Stockpiling food, she's stockpiling water, she's stockpiling guns.
Good luck.
Can I chime in on that, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
What you're saying, besides, like, you know, making $1 million with some big corporation, everything that you said about him is being sensationalized by the media. I mean, I can tell you probably everybody on this phone got somebody in their family that ain't talked to their, you know, they ain't talked to their brother. They got people in their family but they don't talk to and probably haven't talked to for a year or two. Or just by everything.
Or longer.
That,
I've
that
got first-hand knowledge of that, believe
yeah,
me.
Yeah, or longer. So it's like.
But we don't go out and do that type of stuff.
But that's not true.
My only point is that if this is all being sensationalized. And I think Michigan Man had a point when he was saying, well, how come when it's them, oh, well, they want to, you know, microanalyze his family and see what's his psychological state. But when it's us, oh, he's animals, throw him away and lock him up and throw away the key or kill him, you know, when it comes to us. But if when it comes to them, oh, we need a in-depth psychological analysis.
We need
this.
Panels.
So
this,
but y'all know
panels,
that. Y'all know that answer.
Panels.
Y'all know that answer. You know
national
the answer.
Committees.
No. Ain't no. I'm serious. You already know the answer. My issue is not in what. In my issue is not in what you're talking about. It had nothing to do with the equation of what I asked.
No, I think it does. I think it does because
it doesn't.
It does because, well, like I was saying, that all these dynamics of this family, that or at least except for the money, like the income of the father, is pretty. I don't want to say normal, but it is commonplace. In America, and no matter what the race, black, white, you know, whatever, that you find these things in everybody's families, all these dynamics that's being sensationalized by the media is what I'm saying. And so is it the breakdown of the family? I don't necessarily buy that because, you know, everybody just don't go and do that.
But listen
to
what I'm saying.
Look
at the numbers. And I'm not, listen,
Tracy.
look at the sheer numbers. Hold on, South Carolina. Look at the sheer numbers of what is going on in society when it comes to violence. Stanley said there are 12,000 violent homicides in America a year. 8,000 of them are done with firearms. My question was, because of the increase in the violence, does it have anything to do with the breakdown of the family and the woman being ejected out of the home?
And I said for the African-American family, no. That's my answer.
And so, and you said, well, when white people did this, when you did this, because you put it at Mark, he's an Italian-American. They didn't have slaves, of African-American slaves. Now, they may not have tried to free you, but they definitely wasn't enslaving you.
Yeah, but well, only
hold
you
on,
see
go
him.
Ahead, South
Tracy,
Carolina.
I don't see him
hey,
separate
listen.
From his cousin.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
Tracy,
yeah.
This is the same exact thing that I've been saying for a long time. This stuff happens in the white community. This stuff happens. If you don't believe me, go to South Boston. You'll see that there are violent crimes being committed on white-on-white crimes. You don't see it in the newspaper. You don't see it in the media. You don't see it on TV. Because that's not what's sensational.
Right.
That's not
right.
What further advances that cause. But this
right.
does happen in the black community. I mean, in the white community.
Absolutely. It happens in
oh,
the black
yeah.
community. It happens, but it does not happen to the level that it happens in the black community. Because if you look at in your own areas right now, I think we're at number 26 in Youngstown, and we only got 27 people in America in the whole city.
Yeah.
Hey Tracy, I don't agree with that because, I you could pull up those maps of your community to see like what types of crime and all this stuff. And I'm gonna tell you, like, my community is relatively mixed, but you could tell like the HOA here is controlled by white people, dominated by white folks. And if you looked at the news, you would think that all the reports that nothing happens in this community. But when you pull up the actual police reports, which I'm biased because it's just the raw numbers, there's like all these domestic violence police reports all around me, and these are and I know all the houses where it's at, and it's
yep.
all white
pedophiles.
But what's on the news is Ray Ray. And
you know,
but
got
Alex,
caught up
Alex,
again.
Listen,
so,
Alex, this
know.
Is the issue. Listen to what I'm saying. When I'm talking about violent crimes, There's no, if you look at, I said this last week, domestic violence, there's more domestic violence inside of the, out in the suburbs. But when it comes to violent crimes against people that are being shot and homicides, that's very, very high in your inner cities.
Can I say one other thing, too, Tracy?
Am I wrong?
Tracy,
did the numbers change overnight?
I don't live in those suburbs. I live in Orlando.
But, Alex, what are your statistical numbers of homicides?
Tracy, the other thing is, you know, you say I always bring up the race thing.
You do.
I'll let you in on a little secret. In social science, I want you to go find me any social economic study where they're studying a group where they leave out race and ethnicity. Go find
But listen to what I'm saying. But it's not I don't even think they had a little. I don't know if they had a little black kid.
Find me one
Christian.
Listen,
that's not what I'm saying.
Oh.
When my question was about women and about females. You took it somewhere else.
No, I wasn't even talking to you when I brought up that. I was talking
but
to the white
But listen,
yeah.
I don't care who you were talking to.
Oh, okay. That was after.
I asked a question about females because I believe taking the mom out of the home and making her the breadwinner without having a husband and that child having a father has a lot to do with our violent crimes in America, where Stanley was actually talking about gun control, and I don't think that gun control is going to stop these homicides.
Did you do a study like Tracy and come up with some empirical data to prove that I can look at?
Hey, Tracy, I'm going to address what you're just saying. I think that there's too many factors that makes it very difficult to pinpoint it to the woman. I think it probably is a factor. But one of the things that we can look at, the different things that have caused this, like, pandemic rises in violence in our country, and we saw that during the prohibition of alcohol. And, you know, because a lot of – it was just pandemic in every community, black, white, whatever. And we saw that. We saw the breakdown of families back then, you know, during the prohibition era. And I think that a lot of it is prohibition related, prohibition to obviously marijuana, not alcohol. But I think it has to do with the it is related to the drug laws now, as well as what you're talking about, the women removing men out of the home. But it's so convoluted now that I don't think we can, you know, pinpoint it to one thing. It's just, there's just so many factors that it's just like a huge snowball that just keeps rolling down a hill.
But what I'm saying is, the core of the issue. See, drugs, all the peripheral things that go along with it has a lot to do with the core of not having family. That was the issue.
Yeah, but there were women in the homes back during the alcohol prohibition, and we saw the same thing.
You didn't see the increase of violence as we see today.
Oh my God!
Hold on!
I
did not say it was going to alleviate all violence, but having no male around, look at the numbers and look at what's happening. And don't you think it has anything to do with women?
If you look at the rates, and if the rates of crime, they're very similar to. I mean, if you look at, I mean, it's very similar to the mob area. With, you know, if you look at the things that people around Lucky Luciano did, oh my God, trust me.
But that,
trust
but
me,
it was.
It,
but hold on, if you look at, if you look
McCoy's,
at, if you
I mean,
look
you
if you look at per cap, look at the numbers.
That's
and
what
the
I'm talking about. If you look at the numbers, they're similar, but both before and after when you took the woman out. And I think that the prohibition relation may be more of a factor than the woman, is what I'm saying.
Then, so you think the women and the 70s and what happened with women, you think that didn't have anything to do with where we are today with our family core unit and our value system and how we treat violence?
What I think is that.
It's my understanding the Hatfields and McCoys, when they shot each other, they knew each other and they were going to shoot each other and they were fighting. When I look at the mafia, they weren't coming after just random people just to shoot. And
it wasn't
you
just mafia.
And you
that
across
was,
the line. But my question is, right now, we just gone on a shooting spree, and we shoot like it's a business.
No, no, no. If you look on the black, if you look at the studies that they did, like on the black on black teenage crime, there's about three factors that they say that are overwhelming. I know two of them. One of them is they did know the person, and the second one was it was either directly or indirectly to drug trade or turf fighting. So you're talking about economics.
So can I ask a question?
Yeah.
All right. So I've been sitting here and I'm listening to all of this. And all and this is my synopsis. This is what I gather from everybody who's saying that it's not a family issue. It's not the family being broken up in any way. Like what was just said, it's about turf wars, which have nothing to do with
no,
the family.
No, you just mixed
Wait. Let me finish my point.
But you're mixing two
Let
things. That's not what I said.
You can correct me. Just let me finish my point. Because all I've heard is, it has nothing to do with family values. That's all I've heard.
No.
Well, you need to clean out your ears.
Hold on. Let me just clarify what my position. I think that if you look at after Prohibition, because without the, I guess you could say, liberation, in quotes, of women, the families were able to repair. But I think the effect now is that families are not easily repaired. They're not as easily repaired from the damage done from the violence now, because the family is so disintegrated. I think that's probably the effect on it all that I see. But what's causing it is not the removal or women's lib and all that. I don't see that as the cause, but it does have resounding factors on how a family can materialize itself or rebuild itself, and because a lot of times the family is built around the woman. If the woman is not happy, your house is not going to be happy. And so, and it's just
got that right.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, he's gone.
Yep.
So, Mark,
Hello?
Do you have any comment? Because
yep.
You started this.
Well, I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a very heavy-duty discussion, long overdue, in our society about violence and about guns and about the causes. And it's going to examine, I think America's due for it, a real serious examination of why things are developing the way they're developing. I think you're going to see, hopefully, in the long run, some additional gun controls come down the pike, a little bit more attention to mental health. And I think you're going to see, and I stand by my statement, if you don't read Thou Shalt Not Kill of the schools, where are you going to get it? And they've thrown it out. I think there's going to be a lot of a resurgence. I think you're going to see a value resurgence in this country. And it's going to be an interesting debate that's going to go on for not weeks or months. It's going to go on for a year or two or three as we take a look at what we've become. It's got to change. I don't care whether you're white or black. Maybe the father not being in the house in a white family means something different than the father not being in the house in a black family. But at the end of the day, you got to have a man in the house. Men have got to be restored.
Black
to
and
their,
white.
To their place in society. Men. I watched, and I'm going to probably hate myself for saying this, but I watched those guys, the fathers of those poor fathers. They're not the kind of men that I know. they're different. The attitude's different. You know, boys are going to have to be boys. Girls are going to have to be girls. Enough of this social engineering trying to make things that they're not. It's going to be a difficult discussion. There's going to be a lot of politically incorrect things said in the discussion, but I think they need to be said. You can't trivialize males. We've had this discussion before. The schools, they're geared towards women. Job creation, geared towards women. You know, it's white disaffected males over here that are causing the problem. That's the problem. That's got to be addressed. But nobody pays attention to the guys. You got to get them back in the home. They've got to be role models. Fathers have got to become more active. Women got to become more active. They can't. Both parents can't be working 12 hours a day. You're not going to get a good kid out of that kind of an arrangement. There's going to be a problem.
Alex?
I completely agree with him on everything he said, except for the need for gun controls.
So you don't think that we have any need for any type of gun control, even if it has to do with buying guns at gun shows?
No.
Without transfer.
I stand behind what I initially said, is that the Second Amendment was written for the purpose that citizens can protect itself, protect their country, and defend their country from threats foreign and their own government. And they cannot do that if they are restricted to small arms. And so I think that they should be able to get anything and everything that they can afford, you know, other than maybe, you know, a nuclear bomb or whatever. But the citizens should be able to get whatever they want and freely organize however they want. And that, because our founders realized that that is the only threat. I mean, that is the only thing that can protect this country from a standing army and from an oppressive government. And we just, I don't know why we trust this government so much to just disarm ourselves for them. It's insane to me. We apparently have a cultural amnesia going on.
Michigan?
Well, I had said earlier, I believe that you should be able to get, if you're going to, if you're going to say anything, a nuclear bomb, a tank, surface-to-air missile. I mean, if you believe in the free...
Some of those.
Huh?
All you need is some, all you need is some kitchen utensils, and it'll work. Go ahead, Michigan.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know.
Matt?
No, I'm in complete agreement with both of them. I think once, if there's a mindset of everybody in the country knowing or thinking that everybody that they're walking around has a firearm on them, I think you're going to be less likely to try to pull off any type of a crime. I think it's going to make the government less likely and less able to be able to forcibly present anything unconstitutional. I just think it's what you have to do, it's strange, but in order to present peace, you need to make sure that everybody's afraid of committing a crime.
And I stand by it. I agree with that.
And I agree.
My issue is, here in America, we're not afraid of crime. And we've made you're not afraid of death, and we allow the breakdown in our family structure, in our family unit. And we have taken we have misaligned our priorities, and because we've taken them out of the home and away from our children, we are not putting any kind of restraint in them. And those are learned at an early age. The answer is no, you can't have it, you can't do it. And there is a consequence for what you do. And color does not have anything to do with that. And we don't teach it. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Tomorrow's open mic. God bless you. Have a good day, and we'll see you then.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, or the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free.
866- You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hundreds of smart shoppers have already taken advantage of the perfect gift for area golfers. The Newstalk 600 Golf Card. The best courses for the best prices are nearly gone for another year. So what are you waiting for? Visit our website, click the Sweet Jack icon, and...